across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk radio.
You love it, you lot. You absolutely love it, you mucky pups. Good evening, dear listener. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. Busy show this evening. I say busy. I've got literally no idea what we're going to talk about at all. We'll talk a little bit about Twitter and the internet. We'll talk a little bit about people waiting at zebra crossings when actually they don't want to cross the road. We'll talk about the people. It's a crossing the road special. What is your crossing the road story? 0844 499 1000. Don't worry, guys. We call you back.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm so glad that I got her to think of. She's fine as any Valentine. I think about her all the time. Cross my heart and hope to die. She sends me silly messages and pictures. Directing traffic in the mall, or posing with some brand new shoes. She never fails to surprise. She makes me laugh. Travel with the guys and wear our pink party hats. Maybe I should take her on safari. You'll see us wave from our canoe if that's what she wants to do. Tell me what's wrong with that. She makes me laugh.
Emailing one of the Kinks. That's what I'm doing. I'm just emailing Dave Davis from the Kinks. Mm-hmm. That's... Whoa! Hey! Whoa! Hey! We'll have none of that. I'm just emailing Dave Davis from the Kinks. He's coming on next week. It's going to be a pre-record. He wants... His first suggestion... His opening gambit was 3 p.m. I said, whoa, Dave, can you do any later? Otherwise, I'm coming in at 3 p.m. one week to speak to Dave Davis of the Kinks, which would be an absolute honour and a pleasure and a thrill because he's one of the coolest men ever and just one of my absolute heroes.
He's a nice fella as well, isn't he?
He is that well, yes, he is a nice
Mostly
fella.
Mostly a nice fella.
I don't know if we should be saying that. Maybe we should be bigging him up as a bad boy of rock.
He's a bad boy of
rock.
He's
a bad boy of rock. He was a very bad boy of rock.
Was he?
Very, very, very bad boy. I've asked any chance we could do it about 5:30. If not, I'll pop in at 3 o'clock to interview Dave with great pleasure. I flipping love that man. And I've interviewed him twice before. And I've very rarely do you get such He's never had PR training because he'll tell you anything.
Good.
He will tell you absolutely anything. Good evening. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. It's Catherine Boyle. Emma's through there. If you call up now, 08444991000, Emma will take your number and she will call you back.
Because that's her job.
So we've been on a guest jag. Jag is... I'm on a jag at the moment. Jag is my new favourite word. Do you know what a jag is?
I thought it was an injection.
No. A jag, 08444991000, is when you're, like, going through a bit of a phase.
All right.
So I was on a Young Rascals jag last week. So
like
I was going
a tip?
Through... No. That's you're thinking of a ragga tip.
Yeah, I'm always thinking of a ragga tip.
Well, good days. No. No, it's not a tip. It's like a phase. If you like, I was on a 22/11/63 jag at the weekend.
Oh right, yeah.
I caned it.
And I went on a living in the dead jag. Right, it's got a fella that used to be in Merlin in it. I never watched Merlin.
What is
I didn't
Living
realize...
in the Dead? I've never heard of
it. Oh,
this
I
scene.
Thought you might like it, but I wouldn't watch it if I were you because it was nonsensical.
Nonsense.
I quite enjoyed it. No,
I.
But it was about right.
American or British?
British.
Yeah, we go.
Man rabbit. In the olden days.
Yeah.
Or is he?
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah.
It was one of them. He was, but then someone turned up with an iPad.
Oh.
Yeah, there was that kind of vibe going on. Oh. So I had to watch all of them to see what it was about for the denouement. But it turned out that the big reveal was revealed
well,
nothing.
Don't spoil it. Don't do a spoiler. Because it's unfair.
You can't spoil it because I don't know what it was.
We once got in terrible trouble. And people think it was me, and it wasn't me. It was Daisy Donovan on the 11 o'clock show for ruining Sixth Sense. She gave away the twist. Everyone thinks it was me, and it wasn't at all. And then we got in trouble on Rise because it was Kate Lawler, and everyone thinks it was me. It wasn't. Kate Lawler ruined the end of the third Matrix. Although, to be honest, the Matrix makers ruined the end of the third Matrix by making the second, the third, and I'm going to say it, and boy, oh boy, I'm not trolling. Well, I am a bit. The first Matrix... Rubbish. The only good thing in that is that woman in the PVC catsuit. The rest of it, utter bobbins.
I sat next to someone in the cinema watching The Matrix who spent the whole, 2 hours? Felt longer. Going, is he awake yet?
Yeah.
What's this bit?
Yeah.
What's this? Oh.
It was, what's that smell in here?
It's not me.
No, it's Febreze. I bought some, and I know that because I've bought today two things, right? That 08444991000 is the phone number. Alan, we will get to you eventually. I bought two things today that I have bought before in my life, but not very often. One of them being Febreze.
Oh, right.
I bought Febreze. Because we got the dog, right, and I'm the only one in my house that knows that the dog... Oh, steady on, guys. I'm the only one in my house that knows that our house now smells of a doghouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no one else knows it, and I know it. Our dog stinks. And I have bought... you can get, like, perfume for the dog, right? I bought two. The first one was supposed to make her smell like baby powder.
Oh.
Well, it sort of did. Oh, wait, 444991000, how do you stop a dog smelling? It sort of did, but it was like a very toxic baby powder smell.
A baby that needs changing.
Kind of. And then I bought one at the weekend. I went into a pet shop and bought one that's supposed to smell all, like, citrusy. Right. Now, she hates both of these being sprayed on her. If you want to drive her nuts, spray her with this, and she starts rubbing her ears all over.
So, your dog smells like a lemon?
Well, no, it still smells a stinky dog, and I was put loads of it on today. I was like... And I had to hold her. I was holding her by the neck. And it still smells a stinky dog, and the whole house smells a stinky dog. So...
Has she been done?
No. It doesn't smell like that. That's a different scent.
Well, I just wondered whether she was kicking something out. Like
maybe she's
a teenager now.
No. No, it's a different scent. And I've missed the window of opportunity to get it done. You have to get it done. Every 6 months, the dog comes into season, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to get it in the middle. And I've missed it. So we'll go for another one and then we'll get her innards whipped out. I think they scoop around with like those long, thin metal spoons you get with a Knickerbocker Glory. I think that's how they do it. I'm not totally sure.
They get a bubble gum.
Something pops out, yes. So I bought Febreze to try and make our house smell less of dog. Febreze neutralises the smell. Well, I tried it in my car on the way in, because my car stinks, right? Because it stinks of dog and of boys and of my arse. Right? Because the pills I'm on make me produce inhuman smells. And it had absolutely no effect whatsoever. Whatsoever. So that was disappointing. The other thing I bought, because it's been driving me nuts for ages, I've got a little thing stuck between my gum and my tooth. Right there. And I feel it with a tongue, and I've been rooting around all day with it. Rooting around. And I went and bought some dental floss.
Oh.
Dental floss. Because you're supposed to. Now, they say you're supposed to floss every single day. And I don't buy this, right, because it's a con. We'll get on to crossing the road in a minute. 08444991000. Glenn, Alan, stay there. It's every time I go to the dentist, they say, oh, you're going to have to go and see Michelle. Oh, she's the hygienist. Mm. I used to have one hygienist who was, she was awful. She was like really rough and aggressive. Yeah. You'd have a bloody face and everything. And when she went, I wasn't going to go again, but my teeth were in such a bad state. And then I went, and it was a new hygienist, and she was delightful, and we had a laugh. And she used to listen to me on another radio station, and we had a laugh. And this new woman's very matter-of-fact. There's a third woman I've got now, very matter-of-fact. But it's constantly, yeah, you'll have to come for a hygiene session again. Wait, but it's £45.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, you've got to use floss every day. Well, what I would do, of course, is I would floss, like, 2 days before.
Before you go, exactly.
And she goes, oh, so you've been using the floss.
I've got to go and see the dentist in about 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know what will happen.
What time are you seeing him?
2:30.
Oh.
No, it won't, though, because I'll go and see... I'll look after my teeth.
Yeah.
What happens is he'll tell me off and tell me that I should be flossing, and I'll go, OK, yeah, I will. And I'll buy some dental floss and I'll use it for a week.
What's worse than dental floss is those little brushes that you've got
to put
in. Oh, they're, it fits in between the gaps of your teeth. Yeah, but it barely hurts. Well, how come, whatever time of the day I go to, and whatever dentist I've ever been to in history, they're always listening to the Jeremy Vine show? Whatever time I'm on, it's Jeremy bloody Vine. And they'll say, oh, I like him. And I say, oh, he's a fan of mine. Because he is. And they'll say, well, no, I won't. I'll say, And I had one dentist who was a bit cheeky. I liked her. She was cheeky. And she kept asking me questions. And afterwards I said, do you lot deliberately ask questions when you've got your fingers in our gloves, because you know we can't answer? And she went, yeah, we do. I thought, that's brilliant. That is a brilliant thing. But they're always listening to Jeremy Vine, constantly. And Jeremy Vine is constantly getting... We've got a text here from Steve the Trucker, and it says, Jeremy, I've just had to pull over into a lay-by. I've got tears in my eyes listening to the story of that young deaf child. He's always making truckers cry. If there's a truck accident, you bet your bottom dollar they were listening to a sad story on the Jeremy Vine show.
Do you remember at the other place I was the trucker's sweetheart?
Yeah.
They don't call anymore, those guys, do they?
No, they don't truck at night anymore. They're not allowed to.
What are they doing?
It's because of not the communards.
Communists.
No. It's restrictions. There's a word for it that sounds like communards.
The taco.
There we go. The Taco Bell. It's because of the Taco Bell. Well,
I miss those guys.
Well, if you're horny...
Call me now.
08444991000.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
08444991000. Catherine joins me in the studio. Emma will take your call and we'll call you back. Their phones don't work. Glenn!
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the phones don't work. That's... There we go. Phones don't work. Well, I'm glad that got fixed. Yes, Glenn!
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Glenn. Hip, 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 sir.
Hip, hip, hip to you. I did say that, but the phones were broken.
Yeah, the phones are broken. It doesn't matter. I was told that they might be fixed. They're not, and that's absolutely fine. I need to just keep that in mind. What you got for us, Glenn?
Well, a couple of things, if I can, but first of all, a bit of Febreze.
Yes.
Surely, every time you spray Febreze and you have somebody around, the smell of Febreze you will always associate with you've just been for number two.
Well, no, but Febreze doesn't smell. Febreze is meant to, I thought, negate smell. So you get an air freshener to make the room smell of lavender, and you get Febreze to make the room smell of zero.
Well, but it doesn't. It smells of, like, fresh cotton or something, doesn't it?
Well, I would love... What does cotton smell of? Cotton doesn't have a smell.
When you've washed it. I think that's the idea.
We're in bad... We've got some bad news anyway. Mr Magoo says, your dog will smell if you have a Westie. I've got a Westie. They are a terrier. They always smell.
Oh,
flipping it. Well, that, why didn't they tell you that? That should be the first thing. When you Google cute dogs...
These dogs stink.
So when you Google cute dogs, right, and some pictures come up and you get a cockadoodle. Is that what it's called?
Cockapoo.
Cockapoo. I like little cockapoo. But
Labradoodle.
I couldn't get my dog that had the name, the word cock and poo in it. It was just too much.
Can you see those things?
Yes. No. Well, so a Westie came up. And it's like, yeah, that looks cute. Right, we'll go and buy one. And then we Googled, where do we buy a Westie? And then this place came up and we went and I gave them some money and that was that. They should make people who buy dogs do a bit more research than that, I think, Glenn, to be honest. Because that's not fair on me. They should have made me do more research than looking at a picture of a dog online. That's what they should have done. And they didn't.
Who's they?
The government.
Oh.
The government. The government. And now that we've got Theresa May in power, I suspect that will be the first law that she brings in, that people, idiots like me, will be made to do more than just Google cute dogs and click on the fourth picture that they see and then buy one. Come on, right. Theresa, you know you can do it. Here's the thing, Glenn, and I genuinely don't know the answer to this question, OK? Because I've heard both. I've heard both. What's the name of our new Prime Minister?
Theresa May, surely.
Is it Theresa May?
Or is it secret lizard person?
Or is it Theresa May? Because I've heard both.
Yeah, they can't decide, can they?
I have heard both. And here's the thing. I have never heard her say her name. This is the thing. She doesn't know.
Ah, I've heard her say it, because that's what they said. What is your selling point? She said, I'm Theresa May.
Well, but I've heard her say Theresa May.
Oh,
and this is the thing.
Tricky.
She's doing that thing where she doesn't want to upset the electorate. So she's...
The illiterate?
She's hedging her bets.
Mm.
Hedging her
bets.
It's
like the whole Farage thing, isn't it?
Now, I know Farage. I don't know him. He's a horrible, slimy old git. But Farage rhymes with garage.
Yeah, but I say garage and some people say garage.
I've heard him say it. Farage rhymes with garage. So it's Nigel Farage. That is actually...
It would be ironic if he went for the more French pronunciation.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. Nigel Farage. What other names are there that we struggle to...
I did one today.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Is it Paddy Considine or Paddy Considine?
Oh, blimey.
Because I was listening to Adam Buxton talking to the fella that... Oh, gosh, his name's gone from the IT crowd.
Oh, yeah.
With the hair.
Richard Ayoade.
That fella.
Yeah.
And he said... Well, he said Considine. But he'd been working with him.
I would say Considine.
Yeah.
Here's one I struggle with. Let me have a go. No, I got it right.
Tricky.
Got it right that time, which is...
impressive.
Which is great news, Claire. Exciting day in... No, it's not. It's boring. Boris Johnson, Glenn. I knew he'd come back. I didn't know he'd come back this quickly.
I was surprised and slightly deflated.
So that means, and I know he'd come back, and I know that he'll run for the leader. The thing is, he will knife Theresa May in the back at some point. But the disappointing thing is, it means we thought Gove had beaten Johnson, but Johnson's beaten Gove.
Yeah, in a long term sense, yeah.
Yeah, Johnson's beaten Gove.
And since you had Limmy on, a lot of my Scottish friends have started listening to it, and we're all thinking that this will also cause the breakup of the union, which is another
Bye, guys. Don't worry. We're going to build... here's my my tip for everybody in Newcastle and people in Scotland. Start digging tunnels. Mm. It'll be like the underground railway system in the abolition of slavery. Underground tunnels is what you need to start digging, Glenn. So that when people come right, they come in and they go, oi, Glenn, I'd like to go down south. And that'll be the code. And you'll take them into the kitchen and you'll lift up the mat and you'll have installed a big heavy oak trap door with a big brass ring. And you'll lift it up and they'll go down there with a little lantern that's a gas-lit lantern. And they will then walk all the way to Newcastle.
I think the traffic's going to be all one way. I think it'll be all everyone going to Scotland.
Well, yeah, it does mean, yes, in the middle of the night, Glenn, you'll hear little taps in the kitchen and it'll be a load of Geordie fella. Why are you, man? Which way to Glasgow? So, but it's very noble of you to do that, Glenn. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
No worries.
Thank you, Glenn.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Just a quick one. I first started listening to you when you did the Lost podcast many, many years ago.
Many years ago, yes.
I just wanted to ask, first of all, what did you think
I hated the ending. If that's what you're going to ask, I hated the ending. Yes, it was rubbish.
And the two fellas that you did the podcast with on Channel 4 and then on Sky.
Yes.
What do they do nowadays?
Geeky Tom... do you know, we speak to each other on... me and Tom, for those who don't know, it was a podcast about Lost, and we did, like, a few programmes and stuff like that, and I got to sit with these two wonderful people, one called Geeky Tom. Last I heard, he works in the games industry, video games, and Paul Terry, blimey, he's up sticks, and he moved to Los Angeles to write books. He actually did it! He went to LA to write books! Flipping heck, and he's doing all right.
Pleasure, Ian. Thank you.
Glenn, thank you very much indeed. I'll get them on one night. I'll send out a bat signal during the next advert on Twitter, and we'll get both of those on at one point. Yes, Alan!
Hip, hip, hip! I made a revelation about our new Prime Minister.
There were too many R's and W's in there. Get closer to the phone and say it nice and slowly.
I made a new revelation about our Prime Minister.
Are you on speaker?
No, I'm on my headset.
Oh. Why?
What are you doing with your hands?
Because I'm on number two.
Oh.
Are you really doing a poo again?
Yeah.
Come back
not
later.
Again.
No, I'm not. I don't. That is actually sexual abuse.
I feel violated.
That is abuse. Mm. That is like having a boss who, imagine you're my secretary and you come in, but what you didn't know was that my big leather chair is actually a commode and I'm sat there. I'm sat there. Have you ever been on a commode?
No, why would I?
Well, once, the hotel we stayed in on our wedding night...
Gosh, romantic. Well, had a commode. What were they expecting you to do?
It was a converted commode. So it was a commode. It was like, because it was like an old, like, I don't know, Elizabethan thing, right, from the 1600s, right? But it was over. The lavvy was made out of a commode.
So it was like a long drop.
It was a proper flushing lavvy and stuff, but it was fashioned... from a commode.
Wow.
It really does. Let's see if Alan's finished. Have you finished, Alan?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Wash your hands.
You haven't, have you?
No, he's not.
We'll come back to him later.
My first flat was owned by a woman who had a disabled husband who died, and that's why she wanted to sell the flat.
I'm suspicious.
Anyway, so my first flat, my bachelorette pad.
Yes.
Had a toilet on a kind of, with a throne kind of basis, on a big step.
Yeah.
With banisters. I used to feel very grand sometimes, you know, taking the...
Yeah, taking the plunge.
I'd be the mistress of all I surveyed in that bathroom.
It's the thing about going to the bathroom. It's they don't call it a toilet in America. What was I watching? And someone said toilet. And it was an American thing. And someone said toilet. And I thought, you don't say toilet in America. They say bathroom. They say the bathroom.
Yeah. They don't say the loo, do they?
No, they don't say the loo. And they consider it vulgar to say the only time I went... Well, I went to the restaurant on the top of the world, I think it was called, in the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And I booked it, right? But they didn't say you had to dress smart. So me and my girlfriend rocked up, right? And they said, you got... I had a jumper. I remember I had a jumper with a really thick roll neck on. And I had trainers, and they said, you've got to wear shoes. So I had to go and find a shoe store and buy shoes. And then we went up, and they looked at me and went, you've got to wear a jacket.
So they gave me one of the jackets to wear, suit jacket. And it was obviously it was a blazer. It was too small. It's like green and it had like a badge on the thing.
The jacket of shame.
Yeah, it was. And everyone there, of course, I didn't realise everyone there is wearing, you know, suits and ties and stuff. And so, and there were people there. I remember the table next to us. They ordered a dessert, and it had real gold in it. They were eating.
They must have been kings.
They were eating gold. I thought this is disgusting. Anyway, I went to the toilet.
The restroom.
I went to the toilet and I went in, right? And it was amazing. It was mirrors everywhere, right? Everywhere was mirrors. And I went in and I went, "Whoa, bloody hell, that's amazing." Then I saw there were two people next to me that were in there already. And I went, "Really impressive toilet you've got here. Nice one." I didn't know what else to say. I didn't know what else to say, how to deal with the situation.
American toilets, right?
Yeah.
Why do they have the cubicle door so high up, right? You can see up to people's mid-shin level.
They do that in England now in gentlemen's toilets to stop cottaging.
Oh!
Yeah, to stop sexual shenanigans going on. They used to, back in the day, the toilets, the men's toilets were very strange. A lot of strange things would happen in them. And the doors would kind of be very low, but there would also be a gap of about, I don't know, what's that, 10 foot, between different cubicles and all kinds of things.
Yeah, I know about that.
Could go on. So now they've sawn the top of the doors off and sawn the bottom of the doors off and put dividers between them, which I think is a shame.
What about if you run out of loo roll and you've got to pass it across?
Well, if I could pass on any lesson to you, dear listener, is always, always, always check that there is loo roll there before you release. I told you about when I was in Costa, and there was I went and there was no loo roll, so no. There's nowhere else. I had to use a hanky.
Your own, or
yeah.
May I borrow your hanky?
May I borrow your hanky? Let's try and keep it above the waist for the rest of the show.
Alan,
you've dragged us down into a horrible thing. 08444991000.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We've been on a guest, but Tom, Rocky and Alan, stay there. We've been on a guest booking jag and we've been emailing all kinds of people. The attainable, and let's be honest, Richard Carpenter is probably going to say no. But you never know. You never know. So we've just spent the hour before the show just going, right, who can we ask? Oh, let's ask Richard Carpenter. Let's ask Neil Innes. Let's ask Dave Davidson. David's got back, you know. So we're seeing who we can get on the show. I've just emailed my my friend in New York, this young woman, Amanda Nazario, who does this programme on WFMU, right? Which is, she does it on like a sort of little, I think a digital sister station, right? And it is the best, her show is the best music show I have ever heard in my life. Partly because she plays like a lot of really good 60s music that I like, but also because it's a lot of really good 60s music that I've never heard before. Mm-hmm. And the number of bands she's got me into, and she'll play a lot of it on vinyl, and she'll go, I've just been to the record store today and I bought this, and it'll be like this really scratched, battered, crackly old record, and you're like, flipping, and it's brilliant. She'll also play a load of stuff that I hate. But what's I'm not listening for a while, actually, because this change in lifestyle has not made it possible. But what's brilliant is she will, she might play like two songs that I absolutely hate, but then I know I'll like the third one.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. And I got really into her when I was at Three Counties. And it made me braver in the songs that I chose to play, you know, thinking, well, if I like it, then other people might like it. So we would kind of just put stuff out there. She's going to come on Monday or Tuesday, I think.
Oh, brilliant. I would love to speak to her.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She's been really helpful as well. She went and recorded this show that Mickey Dolenz and Peter Noon were doing for me. And she's brilliant. She's such a nice woman. And her show is genuinely, she should be, I've got DAB in the car. I've dipped into Six Music and I just can't get it. I'm going to keep dipping into it, right? Because I know a lot of people I respect really rave about it, but I don't get it. But she should be on there. Mm. This is my ambition, is to get her a gig on Six Music. It won't ever happen, Amanda, if you're listening, but we'll keep on plodding away.
My husband listens to Six Music, and it's not, and it drives me nuts, because if he ever borrows my car or he's been in the kitchen and changed the radio, it's always Six Music.
Yep.
And I'll turn it on and I think, oh, I can tell what this is straight away because it'll be something weird. But you can get sucked into things. Yeah. And Sean Keaveney's really funny.
Shawnee Diamond.
He used
to be my...
Have you ever heard the Kerris Matthews show.
No.
Because she'll go, all right, now we're going to play something from... and she'll play something really random.
Yeah.
Which just sounds like Pinocchio having a fight in a dustbin.
Yeah.
And it goes on for 6 minutes and I go, yeah, sensual grooves there from...
yeah.
And
she's good.
But...
that's a good voice you did there.
Well, I listen to her a lot.
I could do Keris Matthews' voice. Well, I'm Keris Matthews and... No, she's a bit...
A bit
more in the back of the throat.
No, well, this one's from the favelas of Rio de Janeiro. I was there with some friends 2 years ago. Oh, I've gone into Irish.
No, you've gone into... now you've gone into the lady from the Cardigans. You've gone Swedish.
Oh, gosh.
Let's bring Rocky into the conversation. Good evening, Rocky.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Rocky.
By the way, and you were more Howard Marks than... what's her face? Matthews.
What?
Your Welsh accent there.
What, say that again. Say that. What did you say?
Is it Keris Matthews?
Keris Matthews, yes, from
your impression of Keris Matthews sounded more like Howard Marks.
Mm. I've met both of them, so it's possible. Nice. I interviewed Howard Marks.
He left us this year, eh?
Yeah, he did. I interviewed, he came on Rise, and which was the breakfast show we did on Channel 4 years and years ago. And I was still smoking a little bit now and then. I went out to have a little cheeky little roll up, and he's there 5:30 in the morning, massive spliff on the go outside Whiteley Shopping Centre.
Get on
there.
Listen, I'll tell you why I'm phoning me, right? And there's a wee bit of a backstory to this, right? As I've told you before, our paths went different ways. Never heard you for years. Found you again, right? So I'm listening. And by the way, I have to say, I'm a perfectly, happily married man, right?
Okay.
So I'm listening to you, and then this lassie comes on, this voice, and I'm like, oh my God, who's that?
Yeah.
Comes out to be Kath, right? Oh. I wanted to phone up and say, by the way, her voice is absolutely beautiful. But
by the way, hang on, Rocky. If you want to know what Kath looks like, if you go to Periscope, she looks tiny. She looks tiny. Look at her. She's wee.
Don't worry. But I'll tell you what happened. Someday, was it Luke that used to draw the portraits?
Oh, Luke.
Right? Well, do you remember the night that he sent you a picture of himself? Right?
Yes, I do, yes.
And you started giving him a tight, saying, oh, aye, this is, you've got a wee thing for Kath, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You made the guy to be a creep, and I thought, right, I'm no phoning now. I'm no mentioning Kath's voice now.
No. But
tonight, when she was talking about she was the trucker's sweetheart, she's no longer the trucker's sweetheart, if I can politely request Kath to become the Edinburgh cabbie sweetheart,
that would
be neat. Gosh. You right
with that, Kath? Wow. I was in Edinburgh last weekend as well.
Would you... it's right, supposing Kath's in the back of your cab, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you take her from I can't remember anywhere in Edinburgh. I've been there, but I'll be up there in I'm coming up in August for a couple of nights.
Aye, good.
If you take her from Socky Hall Street,
from Glasgow,
right. Uh-huh. To the castle in Edinburgh.
Right, excellent.
And then she goes, oh, Rocky, right? I'm sorry, I've left my wallet.
Whoa.
At home. And mm-hmm. you turn round and you said, aye, lass, dinny worry. There's, we got, you can give
we
me...
We have ways of
money not being important around here.
Is that a Scotsman that sort of spent some time in Yorkshire?
Hey, lady, why don't you just come and sit in the front with me and we'll...
Behave yourself, I'm a consummate professional.
I will write you a receipt with my willy.
Wow!
Kath, that was him, that was not me.
You're a sick man, Rocky, a sick man.
I feel like you were silently complicit.
Abusing his position. The biggest cartoon comic strip in Scotland is Oor Willy.
Yeah, the Bruins.
The Bruins! The Bruins!
I saw that when I was in Edinburgh. They got all these cookbooks, Ma Bruins books.
Yep. Ma Bruins books!
Cookbook!
yes, Tom.
Pip, pip.
Pip, pip.
How are we?
Well, we're disappointed, Tom, that you don't know the correct...
Hip, hip.
What are you saying? Pip, pip?
I said hip, hip.
OK, well, you still don't know the correct greeting.
Try again.
Gdink.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
You dropped a hip. Never drop a hip.
I left it over there. I've gone to get it.
All right, well, thank you very much indeed.
You mentioned about Teresa and Teresa earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wanted to open a debate regarding names, because I used to live in Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
Or as a lot of people who pretend they know the place call it, Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a nice... And then the other one you mentioned Newcastle earlier.
Yes.
I've just moved up here, and I was calling it Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I got told off for it, because it's not Newcastle.
It's Newcastle.
Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah. I got such grief for it. I'm pronouncing lots of other places wrong. But that was the big one that came up. But when you mentioned Teresa, it reminded me of the Shrewsbury thing. And again, it was more people. It was an older sect of people who lived in Shrewsbury, who hadn't lived in Shrewsbury all their life, but liked to call it Shrewsbury because it sounded posher.
Mm. Why don't we... There's a brilliant Limmy sketch, as there always is about this, where... he highlights how newsreaders will say there was a bomb today in Uzbekistan, and they'll do the accent of the place, but they don't go, there was a serious car accident in Glasgow today, you know. They don't they don't do that, do they?
No, or Madrid.
It's a weird... I wonder if we can... let me find it, because I want to play a bit of it, because it's very, very funny.
It is funny.
But it might have swears in. But we've got a dump... We've got a dump facility. Don't know if that'll work, because the blooming phone's down. Let's have a YouTube. But, yeah, there you've got to... you've got to say Newcastle, have you?
Newcastle.
Newcastle, yes. And they insist on Newcastle.
Yeah, let me just see. I'm typing this.
Because it's a Newcastle. Not a Newcastle.
This is a Newcastle. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let me try this. This might have swears in, so I'll dump it if it does. I think we're all right with this one, actually. This is, here we go.
American forces in Afghanistan have came under some of the most intense fire since the beginning of their campaign in a town only 5 miles from Kabul. Did you hear what I said there? I said Kabul. Kabul. Not Kabul, like we would say over here, but... Kabul, like they would say over there. Impressive, isn't it? Of course, you wouldn't hear me say this. The Netherlands will tonight go to the ballot box in a crucial vote that could spell the end of the notorious red light districts of Amsterdam. Or the President of America will later today attend a memorial service at the site of the World Trade Center attacks in New York. Or... a fire has broke out on a North Sea oil rig just off the coast of Shetland. The Shetland Islands up there in Shetland. No, that would be silly, wouldn't it? I only do it for places like Kabul.
Brilliant, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful?
I think news would be better for doing that, to be perfectly honest. Shifting from 1,000 accents, it'd be a wonderful world.
That's such a good sketch. Oh, Tom, I'm loath to... end this call, because when I end this call, it means we're one step closer to going back to Alan Caddick.
Oh, no. I've listened to you for ages, and, like, Alan is...
You must be tired.
..pretty much part of it forever.
I'm sorry to hear that, yes, I know. Anything else, Tom, before I cut you off?
Just that. Lovely chatting to you both.
Ta-ta. 0844-499-1000.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I feel it's important to stress for those who... I can always mention it too late. The podcast, I noticed yesterday, had slipped down to number 50 in the iTunes
chart.
This is unprecedented. These are dark, dark days for everybody here involved on the Ian Lee show, or Late Nights with Ian Lee, as they would have you have it. So we have to reverse this trend. So, first of all, go to iTunes, type in Ian Lee, Talk Radio, and download and subscribe to the podcast. To make it even more delicious for you, I know some of you weren't subscribing to it because you had listened to the first hour, and a lot of it was culled from the first hour and a half of the show. That is, we're trying something a little bit different, and basically the podcast is pretty much the last hour of the show.
Yeah.
And I know some of you couldn't listen to the last hour of the show because it's very, very late, and you're lightweight, and you can't handle it. You've got jobs and stuff like that. So, if you weren't getting the podcast because you can't... kind of thought, it's this stuff from the first hour and a half. I've heard that. It's from the last hour. So I thoroughly recommend it. Yes, you can get it from iTunes. Type in Ian Lee, I-A-I-N-L-E-E, talk, it pops up. Beautiful, dig it. And all of your other podcast providers. I know some of you hate the iTunes. Good for you. I don't know. Podcatcher, I believe, is something that you can use. I don't really know.
A Podbean.
I don't know if it's on Podbean, actually.
Oh.
But basically, anywhere you would normally get your high-quality podcasts, if you type in Ian Lee, it will come up and you can find it there. And let's get me out of the top 50, guys.
Because there are some people that are doing better than us who aren't as good.
Yeah.
That's a source of irritation.
It's bang out of order. Speaking of that, Alan!
Hey, babe.
Exactly. What have you got for us, boss?
I hear my new Prime Minister is a porn star.
Continuez-vous, s'il vous plaît.
You know Theresa May?
Yeah.
She's dabbled in porn.
No. Do you?
Yeah.
No, she hasn't.
Yes, she has.
No, she hasn't.
There's an actual porn star called Theresa May.
Yes, exactly. So let's put the actual porn star called Theresa May to one side and let's talk about the Prime... You mentioned that the Prime Minister, Theresa May, had dabbled in pornography.
No, I'm thinking of a namesake.
Right, OK, so let's just to clarify, and I don't want to repeat the
serious allegation.
The internet is almost melting after I destroyed Russ. I don't want to destroy you, but I'm hoping you'll be hoisted by your own petard. So when you said Theresa May has the Prime Minister has dabbled in porn, what you actually meant was Theresa May, the Prime Minister, hasn't dabbled in porn. That's what you meant, wasn't it?
About her namesake.
Okay, but you said
our new Prime Minister,
the new Prime Minister, exactly. If you hadn't,
I was trying to be too funny.
Say that again, Alan.
I was trying to be funny.
Right, and how do you think that went?
Like a lead balloon.
Thank you very much indeed, Alan. Anything else?
I'm surprised that Boris Johnson got a job in government.
Well, I'm not. I knew it would happen. I didn't know it would happen this quickly. I'm surprised he's got such a big job in government.
Like one where he could really drop
dealing with the fuzzy wuzzies! Hello! Dealing with the fuzzy wuzzies!
They don't like it up them!
Yeah, exactly. You know, how many racial faux pas has he made in the last 6 months, for crying out loud? What did he say about Barack Obama being part Kenyan?
Oh,
so he'd have Of course he's got a problem with Britain. He's part Kenyan.
He dropped himself in it with Liverpool, for God's sake.
Here's the interesting thing. He won't be dealing with Europe. He won't be dealing with Brexit. There will be a specific Brexit minister.
That's David Davis' job.
Dave Davis from the Kinks will be the Brexit minister, and he won't be reporting to Boris. To Boris Johnson. I hate this. We all call him Boris.
Like so he's our mate.
Yeah, so he's all cuddly and friendly. No, my good friend Paul Scoynes made me aware of this. When he was the Mayor of London, I would do my darndest to refer to him as Boris Johnson, the Mayor of London. And so I'm going to call him Boris Johnson, the Foreign Secretary, because if we call him Boris... Oh, it's only Boris. Ah, hello, Fuzzy Wuzzies! They don't like it up them! So Dave Davis from the Kinks, who is the Brexit minister, will not be reporting to Boris Johnson, the Foreign Secretary. He will be reporting to Theresa May, the porn...
The Prime Minister.
But that means Johnson beat Gove. Just when you thought that Johnson had knocked his king over in the political game of chess, he went to knock it over, but before it landed on the chessboard, he caught it and did a quick move over Gove and went, checkmate!
Oh, that's one in the eye for Michael.
Well, and one in the ghoulies.
Back to porn stars, Alan.
No match then.
I wonder if Michael Gove would succeed in the pornography industry.
See Michael Gove.
There are spoofs of... There are adult spoofs of pretty much everything. I saw an adult spoof of The Office once.
And what was it called?
Oh, it was called, I don't know, Having It Off in the Office. Having It Office, something like that. And one of my friends was in The Office. So
in that one as well?
Well, no, there was a bloke who looked like him, though.
That's a bit
McKenzie
weird.
Cook?
Yeah, exactly. And it certainly ruined my evening.
I once saw one that was a spoof of Alien.
What did you call, Cat?
I can't remember. But I remember the tagline was, in space, no one can hear you. You can make up the last word.
Here's the... I'm going to say something, and it's rude, OK? But it's not rude, so bear with me. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hang on a second, I need to think.
Be careful.
No, OK, here we go. The word come. C-U-M. Come. As in, I went to a record fair. It was a Beatles come 60s record fair.
Yeah.
Right? Why are they using that word? Don't they? It means like it was something and something, right? It's kind of.
Yeah.
Why are they using that word spelt that way? They know what that means.
Did they do it first?
Well, they might know. The rude version, and I can't even say the word when I mean the rude version, came first. And then someone for a lark. What are you doing? What are you doing, Alan? This isn't a sex line.
No, I thought you meant talking about white liquid.
Oh.
Thank you very much indeed. Milk, of course. So, this is a genuine thing, and I was thinking about this the other day. So, I'm not. Noah and Gary and Jonathan, two of those people are the same person. Stay there, I will come to you. 08444991000. And this isn't me being, you know, crass and grit. This popped into my head the other day because I saw the word. And you get it, don't you get it for towns, names
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, Chalton Cumhardy.
Sorry?
Chalton Cumhardy.
Well, that sounds like. Well,
I. No, it does, actually. It's real.
Real life, real London, proper busy. But but why do they use that word spelt that way? Because you look at it and you go, it's weird, isn't it? Come.
Yeah.
Why?
It must be old.
Well, that's my problem.
Very old.
Gary. Let's try again. Gary!
Yes, hello. Hip, hip, hip.
Gary. That was a lacklustre entrance there.
Yeah, hip, 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 fan of Candyman. How are you? Have you come to me now, have you?
Sorry?
Have you come to me now?
Yes, I've come to you, yes.
Good man. I've got several subjects to talk to you about.
Go.
I'll be quick, though, because I know this time is not on my side. Big fan ever since Three Counties, thank you. I moved out to one of the Three Counties. I'm only ever a podcast listener. This is the first time I've ever listened to you live.
Are you a police officer, or do you work for the council or something?
Why do you say that?
You're ruthlessly efficient in the way you speak.
I'm being very careful with my words and making sure what I say is clipped and clever and everyone can hear me.
Yeah.
And you're not a teacher. You're a something, aren't you?
I am a something. Aren't we all a something?
Are you a copper? You're not a copper. Military training.
Oh, you are. That's not what I rang up about.
He's a copper. He's a copper.
He is?
I think it's to get through.
Can I just say thank you for all the hard work you do as a copper?
Thank you very much.
I know he was! Yeah! Totally got him.
Columbo.
Hello to Kath as well.
Yeah, hello.
Not you, my wife. She's called Kath. Hello.
Oh.
Thank you. And hello to you, Kath, as well. So both you? Kath. Yeah. I'm a Kath lover.
I'm a Kath man!
Anyway, none of that's what I want to ring up about.
Sorry, officer.
I never said I was a police officer.
There we go!
Kath is a trucker's favourite. I thought that was Sally Traffic used to be on Radio 2.
She's old news.
Well, you tell her that. The other thing I wanted to mention, I heard you mention Richard Carpenter.
Yeah.
That's old news.
Got there in the end.
Well, no, listen.
Oh.
I'll do a bit of a link to him, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
My uncle, who's got the same surname as me, he compiled the ABBA Gold album.
What's that got to do with the Carpenters?
Because he also reached out to Richard Carpenter for the Carpenters Gold album.
Ooh.
He reached out to him. Now, this is...
Listen, my uncle's passed away now, so I don't want to mention his name, but he did lots of great work.
Oh, OK.
And he spoke to Richard Carpenter, this is a story he told me, and said, we want to make a Carpenter's Gold album as big as the ABBA Gold album was. And Richard Carpenter said, yeah, OK, but you've got to have a picture of us on the front of it. And my uncle said, no, because he's a marketing guy. He said, what was good with the ABBA album was it was, I think the original album was all black with ABBA Gold written on the front of it.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we wanted to market it the same as we did ABBA Gold, because that was the whole point, you know, you'll be riding those waves. Yeah. And he fought him, and Richard Carpenter was insistent on having the photograph on the front. But my uncle refused. the album went out with gold, and Carpenter's Gold, written in black on the front, was a million seller.
Well, but if it had the picture on, it might have been a 2 million seller.
Who knows?
Is your uncle called Chris Griffin?
No.
Is he?
No.
Is he called George McManus?
Might be.
I know my music, Gary.
He was. I mean, he's passed away, and, I'm just...
Good for him. Did he, in his documents that he left when he passed, he didn't leave Richard Carpenter's phone number anywhere, did he?
I remember being around his house and people would call up. And when I was a lot younger, it'd go away. It was before my mobile phones, of course.
Yeah.
And Jean-Michel Jarre had called up from the airport wanting a lift and things like that.
Oh, mate, that's brilliant. That's absolutely... Did he go and pick up Jean?
No, he had a laser bike.
Probably did have, yeah. But anyway, that wasn't why I phoned up either.
Oh, go on. Well, that's just a buy point. That's a great one. Continue, officer.
Well, I'm not a police officer. And I was going to ring up about... I was never really ever interested in football.
No.
But people down the corridor from me, building I worked in central London, big building that's going to close down soon, they were doing the Euro Millions lottery every week, and we were losing tons of money, a couple of quid a week. And I said, why don't do that? Why don't we just pick a football team every week? Six of us will pick a team and do an accumulator. So it's a six-game accumulator. And we kept winning. And not much, about £200 or £300 split between us every week.
Yeah.
But that stoked our interest 2 or 3 years ago into football.
Yeah, we've got about 15 seconds, Gary.
And now my family are convinced I'm a football nut. It's all because of that.
Oh, really? Is that what they think? You're a football obsessed just because you went there as a cynical way to make a few quid?
Yeah. And I keep playing ABBA and Carpenter's records.
Gary, that was an excellent call, mate. I'm glad you got in touch after all this time. Thank you very much. Talk Radio. Speaking of guests, thank you. That was a brilliant call, by the way. Speaking of guests, we've got one of the Shags coming on next week. I know. You don't know who the Shags are? Oh, man. When we come back, I'll play you as much of a Shag song as we can stand.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Coming on next week. Beautiful. My Pal Foot Foot by the Shags. The Shags, we've got one of the Shags. Dot is coming on next week, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be asking her about My Pal Foot Foot. The comments underneath, this is from YouTube. That drummer sounds like she's building a shed. And Jeffrey has posted, man, that drumming. I swear, some of those fills are illegal. She needs to look out for the polyrhythm police.
Why won't you answer me, Foot Foot?
Yeah, so I
can't hear anything anymore.
Exactly. Well, that's we've got Dot from the Shags is coming on next week. Imagine. One day we get Dot, the next day we get Richard Carpenter. I mean, it is from one to t'other. Gary, you're back. What happened? Oh, no, it says Chris now. The phone system's gone funny. Is this Chris?
Oh, hello.
Hello, who's this?
It's Chris.
It says Gary on my screen, and then when I touched you, it said Chris. Something is wrong. What you got for us, Chris?
Right, I wasn't ready. I thought.
do you want me to go? Well, I thought it was Gary that was coming back. Do you want me to go to someone and come back to you?
Yeah, go on, mate.
All right, fair play.
Let him have some thinking time.
Let's go to Jonathan. Good evening, Jonathan.
Evening.
Evening,
hi.
Jonathan.
Have you ever felt like you're living in a six-part BBC One adaptation of a Ben Elton novel?
Go on.
Because I do. I mean, I just look at the world around me and it's absolutely crazy.
Yes.
It's completely... I mean, I'm
too
not...
Too many blacks and homosexuals for
women,
you.
Yeah. Women running the country.
No, I wouldn't be surprised to wake up tomorrow and find out that Gerry Adams is the new Doctor Who. It is that crazy, this third rock from the sun at the moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It just beggars belief.
What in particular, Jonathan, has got you all a-giddy?
Well, it was something that a friend of mine mentioned on one of his podcasts last week about the new Star Trek film.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out.
Yeah, there's a gay Sulu, is that it?
It's not so much the gay Sulu, it's just... In Star Trek Generations, it was established that Sulu had a daughter.
Yeah?
Yep. Oscar Wilde had kids.
Oh, hang on, no, because I can deal with this.
Hang on a minute, and I'm just thinking... The only way to rationalise that with the character development of Sulu is if it turns out he's bisexual.
Right.
Because if he isn't, and you have to jump through all these convoluted hoops to figure out Sulu is gay and has a daughter, it doesn't speak well of the future in Star Trek, because it's meant to be utopian where everyone is open and accepting about who they are... identity, you know, people don't have to live a double life.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you? Because I've actually, bizarrely, I was reading about this today.
Yeah.
It's an alternate timeline.
I understand it's an alternate timeline,
but it's not. It's not the Sulu that you know. It's a different Sulu. He's even born 3 years later.
But there has to be some sort of logical consistency.
Well, no, there doesn't. It's not the same Sulu. It's a different Sulu.
I guess that it's an alternate reality and that, but there has to be some sort of underlying.
It has to be grounded in reality. Yes. The Star Trek has to be... Star Trek, talking about alternate realities and alternate timelines, has to be grounded in reality. Is that what you're saying?
The character development has to be.
Does he have children in the alternate timeline?
I haven't seen the...
Right, well, it's a different...
In the original timeline, he had a daughter.
Yeah, but it's a different Sulu in a different timeline.
I get that.
But we don't know if he's got children in the... First of all, gay people have children sometimes. And secondly, we don't know if he's got children in the alternate timeline.
It's just that it's so... illogical, because it messes with an established template of a character that's been around 50 years. And if you want a gay character in Star Trek, fine, create a new character. Don't mess around with established ones.
But Jonathan, you're completely, completely wrong on this. They're not... Well, in many ways, they are literally rewriting history, but it's not Sulu. It's not George Takei. It's not the Sulu that you've seen in the other Star Trek films. It's a different Sulu. So it can work.
In theory, it can, but you're through so many logical or illogical...
It's an alternate timeline! How many... that's a massive leap anyway!
Yeah, I just feel they only changed the character's sexual orientation for shock value and to
But nobody's... Well, that's two different things. Nobody's shocked anymore by a gay man. And this is set... What year is it set in? It's set in, like, 500 years in the future, where, like, everybody... people like you will be the freaks, because there won't be homophobia and bigotry and racial hatred.
And this is the problem, though. Whenever you speak logical point, you get these people, the cultural Marxists or socialist warriors, who go around shaking their fists, pointing sexist, racist...
But we know... But Jonathan, I'm only doing that,
it's
right?
It's not an argument.
No, Jonathan. I'm only doing that because you are a massive racist, sexist... homophobe. And how do I know that? I've read your timeline.
Are they pressing charges?
I'm a misanthrope. I'm a misanthrope.
You keep saying that. You're not. You're a racist and a homophobe and a sexist.
This isn't about me. This is about
It is. Jonathan, it is, because you've just picked me up for calling you a homophobe and a racist, and you said, oh, people, everyone throws that back. But you are. I am correct in that.
It's not correct.
Well, I've read your timeline. You're anti-Semitic, you're homophobic, you're racist.
I'm anti-Semitic now. That's a new one.
I've read your timeline on Twitter. It is poison.
You've read it, but you don't understand it. This isn't about me.
But no, but it is. But Jonathan, that's
the world.
That's the point.
Much lack of imagination in people today that they can't even come up with
an
original character.
It is about you. I wish I had a fader.
One.
It is about you because you. I said that in the future there won't be homophobes and racists. And you said, well, everyone throws that around. That's a lazy argument. What I've said isn't homophobic. No, what you said isn't homophobic, but you are a homophobe.
I'm a misanthrope. I have a misanthrope.
You can constantly say that.
Discriminating.
Right. Are they? Before I go any further, are they pressing charges?
What? No, not at the moment, no.
No, OK, not at the moment. But the police have spoken to you about the abuse that you send on Twitter.
Well, it's free country.
Well, no, but it's not free. It's not a free country. Well, they do if you send it directly to them, or if you. It's a public forum. So, yeah, Twitter is a public forum, and it is a free country. But inciting racial hatred and homophobia is.
I'm not inciting hatred.
Well, but you do, Jonathan. Jonathan.
Western civilization.
Jonathan. I've read your timeline. What you tweet is poison.
For lefties, maybe, but not for the vast majority.
And to black people, and to gay people, and to women.
You've made it about me. I wanted to make it about how lacking in originality the people in Hollywood are.
All I'm saying is
social agenda.
But Jonathan, you're ignoring. Can you put calls on line 7 instead of 8? Because they keep coming up with Gary. But you're ignoring... I've explained it. It's explainable within the world of Star Trek. It's explainable. It's an alternate timeline. It's not the same Sulu. It's a different Sulu. It's a completely different person than the Sulu that we've grown up with. So I've explained it, and yet you won't accept that.
I won't accept it because it's clearly... a device by Hollywood to push a social agenda, and if they really wanted a gay character, just create a new one.
You've retweeted something. I think it's a picture of Angela Merkel with the caption, "I must get more Muslim murderers, rapists and terrorists into Europe before someone stops me."
I was talking about
the feminist. Here's another one. Here's another one.
Turned it into a personal slanging match.
Here's another one. You've retweeted the feminist answer to Muslim rape gangs. We must respect their culture.
Well, that's what feminists say. But what does that have to do with the new Star Trek film?
Because if you go back to what we were saying. I said in the future there won't be homophobes and racists because there won't be, because people will...
You were trying to make a point.
Anyone
that disagrees with Sulu being gay or Ghostbusters being women, that they're somehow homophobic or bigoted, misogynist, whatever.
Jonathan, here's the point. Here's the point. I wasn't saying that everyone that disagreed with Sulu was a homophobe, right? I wasn't saying that. But, by coincidence, I happen to know that you're a homophobe.
I'm a misanthrope.
Oh, stop saying that. Utter bollocks, right?
You are
a homophobe.
I am a misanthrope.
Jonathan, you're being an idiot, right? The reason that it's become about
you've lost the argument.
No, I haven't. I realise I'm arguing...
You're going for personal...
I am arguing with a brick wall.
You're like Vinnie Jones on the radio. Instead of going for the man.
Jonathan, right, two things. I've explained how it works in the storyline. You won't accept that, right? You then put up the point, oh, you can't mention that it's a gay character without being accused of being a homophobe. Well, but I know you're a homophobe.
I'm a misanthrope.
Oh, Jesus, Jonathan. Is that the best? Leftism is a mental illness. I mean,
I make fun of everything. I'm an equal opportunities offender.
Yeah, but I don't mind you calling up and talking about stuff, right? But
I wanted to talk about how Hollywood was mucking around with established characters.
No, you didn't. You said they were ticking. Agenda. You said they were ticking a box and pandering
me because you couldn't handle my argument.
Well, no, but I've shot down your argument, Jonathan.
You haven't shot down my
argument. Yes, I have.
Argument.
It's a different Sulu. It's a different Sulu. What? How more can I explain it? No, they're not.
They're
not
the same character.
Jonathan,
they just had different
Jonathan,
life experiences.
Jonathan,
they have an integrity.
They were born 3 years. Why are we arguing about Sulu? Jonathan, I've explained it, mate. It's a different character.
You're just being disingenuous.
No,
now.
I'm not. I'm explaining. I've read what Simon Pegg has written about it. Simon Pegg, who wrote the film.
I've read it. He's a hypocrite because how dare he lecture George Takei on tolerance.
He hasn't lectured George Takei on tolerance and acceptance. He's spoken to him about it, and George Takei didn't think that Sulu should be gay. I don't think he lectured him.
Well, George Takei violated the principles of cultural Marxism, and Simon Pegg, like a good little cultural Marxist, slapped him down.
If George Takei agrees with me...
Well,
George Takei is an actor. George Takei doesn't agree with you. He just doesn't think that Sulu should be gay. And Simon Pegg didn't need to, but paid him the respect of going to him and saying, we're going to make Sulu gay. You happy with that? George Takei went, no, not really. Simon Pegg went, OK, well, we're going to stick with it. Sorry about that.
Well, he's entitled to say that, but
yeah,
you're insulting the intelligence of 50 years' worth of...
No, I'm not. It's a different... Well,
you keep saying that, but they are essentially the same person.
Okay, Jonathan.
What you're arguing is like saying that Vernon Kay is the same as Elton John because they're both called Vernon Kay.
What? Say that again.
Your argument is a bit like calling Elton John Vernon Kay and saying that Elton John and Vernon Kay are the same person. They have the same name.
Right, okay. But they haven't got the same name. And they're
I'm
not
just
the
using
same.
Using that as an example of how silly your argument is.
Right. Well, but my argument makes
sense.
I'm literally.
I am
lost for words. I'll tell you why. Because I get better intelligent arguments from my 6-year old son than that. That literally makes no sense.
Oh, my. You do have
whatsoever.
To bring your children into it. Oh, my. I like you. I like you, but I do feel sorry for you.
I don't like you. I think you're an obnoxious, horrible racist. I like it when you call up and you talk about Judge Dredd. I think that's, you know, it's vaguely funny. But I think that you're a terrible, terrible, sad, pathetic human being. I feel sorry for you, man. I feel sorry for you.
My feelings...
getting so upset about Star Trek.
I'm getting upset that people's childhoods are being ruined for the sake
of diversity.
Uber Alice.
They're not being ruined. You don't have to go and see it. So if you go and see Star Trek,
if you go and see Star Trek,
how is your childhood going to be ruined?
Because they're mucking around with established facts within the Trekkie universe.
That's very weak of you, then, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's very weak to allow that to ruin your childhood. Because there's a character in a film that's a homosexual.
Look at Ghostbusters. That's an even worse example.
And why is that? Why is I'm not seeing Ghostbusters. Have you seen it?
I don't intend to.
Because
I know what's going on with them.
What's going on with them?
They've taken a film about four men who are starting up a business, the struggles they have with starting up a small business.
Yeah, it was about...
And they turned it into feminist propaganda.
Oh, and when did you... Just remind me, when did you see it, Jonathan?
Everyone can see it
when,
from the trailer.
When,
replacing
when,
four men
when,
with four women
when,
for the sake of...
When did you see the film, Jonathan?
I said the trailer.
Thank you very much indeed. I mean...
Someone spiked my brew.
I did. Fair play. The Verdon Kay and the Elton John thing. I was literally speechless at that point because I had not a clue. Oh, I enjoyed that. Thank you for that. 0844 499 1000.
Late night Ian Lee on air and off the loop on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000 is the phone number. We call you back. Tris is on the line. Good evening, Tris.
Hip hip hip
hip hip hip. Tris, what you got for us, boss?
Good God, there's so much to get upset and wound up about in the world at the minute, isn't there? A gay character in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
But it's ruined his childhood.
Lord.
Ruined.
Yeah. And, I mean, don't tell him we've got a female prime minister.
Yeah.
Oh. They'll be able to drive next, these women, watch.
Yep.
It's not. I don't know what I was going to phone in about. Now he's wrong-footed me. Well done on the Shags. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, very excited. We've got Dot from the Shags is coming on one day next week. We are over the moon. That's going to be a story and a half.
Oh, that's gonna make the show. Though. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yep.
I'm fascinated by it. I phoned you up the other week about him.
You planted the seed. Yeah, you reminded. You planted. We used to play him at the old place, but you planted the seed. So thank you, Tritz.
That's all right, no worries. I'm going to find out about T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
I bought my first T-Rex album today, and I'm with the times and all that.
Greatest hits?
No.
Tanks?
I don't do greatest hits.
Well done. Well,
yeah,
okay.
I'm all or nothing. All or nothing,
yeah.
Mate.
Diving straight at the deep end.
I've got their first album. What do you think of them?
Now, have you got T-Rex or Tyrannosaurus Rex?
No, it's T-Rex's
okay.
First album, so
I'm
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
I'm not a fan. No, I mean, Get It On is a work of art. It is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. But I'm not a fan. Although he is, there is one song where the title he mispronounces the word, right? So the song is Metal Guru.
But everyone says
Metal Guru, but it's Metal
That's
Guru.
Right, yeah.
Metal Guru. Hey, go on, play Metal Guru. Do you mean Metal Guru? Everyone says it. So I respect him for that, but I'm not a massive fan. What do you reckon, Tris?
I found it quite odd. I mean, I think Jeepster's a great track.
It's a good one.
It's very, very folky. I was quite surprised by how folky it was. A little claim to fame my dad has. My dad walked past Mickey Finn once in 1970.
He was the other one.
That's right.
But he was. But the first couple of albums, when it was Tyrannosaurus Rex, they were folk albums. Was it one in the Perfumed Garden or something like that? I don't really know.
That's right. I think that was his third or fourth album.
Yeah.
But my dad sported a big beard, and Mickey Finn walked past him and complimented them on his beard.
Oh.
And from the second T-Rex album onwards, he had a beard on every cover, and my dad takes full credit for that, for shaping early 70s pop history.
Oh, good for him. I walked past a man the other day, an old fella, in a really ill-fitting suit, very baggy suit, and he was bald, and he had horrible teeth. And I saw someone grab him, and the bloke went, oh, go on then, be quick. And they took a selfie, and I thought, ooh, I know, who is that? It was, and then I realised it was one of the Clash. Not a big Clash fan. Well, this
not
is it.
Fun.
I then tweeted, I've just seen one of the Clash. And someone tweeted back, if he was wearing a hat, it was Paul Simonon. And if he wasn't, it was Mick Jones. Is it Mick Jones?
Mick Jones, yeah.
And I said, oh, it was probably Mick Jones. And then someone else tweeted, if he looks like that bald character with bad teeth from On the Buses, then it's definitely Mick Jones. I went, yeah, it was Mick Jones then.
And if he's got a terribly small head, it would be Top of Heaven.
Oh, well, there you go.
I sat on a train next to another train that had Paul Simonon on it.
I never got the Clash. I never got them. I like He's in Love with the Rock and Roll World. He's in Love with the Jesse Jones World. That, I like that one.
Jones.
I like White Riot.
Yeah.
And they had another one that was quite poppy. Not Should I Stay or Should I Go. Not London Calling.
White Man in Hammersmith Palais.
Yeah, I'll say yes just because I'm getting bored of me talking like that. But I never
got
the Clash.
What do you want to do? You want to go late to Clash? You want to go to their triple album,
no.
Sandinista?
A triple album of a band I don't like? Are you nuts?
Mate, it's like it's world music. It's a trip. It's just what they did.
I don't like world music.
They basically set 36 tracks.
Yeah.
Some of the tracks were written as they were being recorded.
Yeah.
And all meetings had to take place in the spliff bunker that Joe Strummer built in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
And it is just, oh, mate, it's brilliant.
Some
of it's recorded in Jamaica, some of it's in New York.
Oh, it sounds terrible.
Oh, it's great.
No.
You're wrong.
No, I'm right on this one, Trish. Anything else?
No, that's my lot.
Lovely. Let's see who this is. Is this Chris?
Hello.
Is that Chris?
Yes.
All right, Chris, because the phones are a little bit crazy tonight, man. Hello, Chris. What have you got for us?
I don't know if you'll remember. I called you just over a week ago. My son was born and went straight into the special care unit.
It was Callum, wasn't it?
Bless you.
I do remember. Yeah, well, how is Callum?
So we've had a very topsy-turvy week. Just to give a little recap, he was born and he immediately had breathing difficulties, was taken straight to special care, and he was put on oxygen, and he was doing really well.
Yep.
And on Friday, I had a conversation with the midwife, and he was doing really well, and they were slowly reducing the oxygen, and he was just sort of breathing, you know, naturally, and they said, we're going to take him off the oxygen. And he went rapidly downhill.
Yeah.
So it was very scary.
Yeah,
it was a very scary kind of time. And clunky gear change. And he's now doing very well.
Here we go.
And as we speak, my wife, his mother, is staying in the hospital with him overnight.
Yeah.
And everything being well, he will be coming home tomorrow.
Yes, come on!
Chris, you had me holding my breath there.
Blimey, you're a good storyteller. Blimey. That is absolutely brilliant. Best news all week, Chris. Best news. Fantastic.
And I've got to say, after I had the conversation with you,
yeah.
And thank you so much for having that conversation with me, because I know you do the clunky gear change things, but it's not... I have called you in the past, and it's not my natural instinct to do that kind of call. I normally, you know, dick about. But I went and watched the Periscope broadcast afterwards to see, because I know you mentioned the messages.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to everyone that messaged, thank you so much. That meant so much. So much to me. That was really, really lovely. And because I was on my, you know, I was on my own. Obviously, my wife was still in hospital. Some people sort of commented, you know, I just needed to talk to somebody, you know, and in a weird way, talking to somebody that's not involved in the situation made it a lot easier to just sort of talk about it. So,
can I tell
you
the good news?
Much.
Well, the good news on my part means I can play this legitimately for the first time. There we go. That's the
hip, hip, hip.
Hey, oh man, that is the best news Do you know what? Here's another kind of weird, good side product. Is it means that baby is going to be watched by the hospital for a long, long time. Mm. I would imagine, which is always great. Which is actually really good news for parents. You know that. That you have Callum already has a relationship with the hospital, and they'll be keeping an eye out for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because the guys on the special care unit have been absolutely phenomenal. I have to say, I only wish that the same level of care had been shown to my wife, because she was her recovery has been incredible, and she's been absolutely amazing. She wasn't very well looked after, I have to say.
My wife had a baby, the first baby. The midwives and the doctors, when the first wonderful, she had to stay in overnight, and the overnight team were terrible.
Told
her off because she pushed the buzzer at 3 a.m. because the baby was crying. She didn't know what to do. Pushed the buzzer, and a woman came and told her off and said, "Don't push the buzzer. Wait for one of us to walk past."
Well, I had to have help because they'd left my epidural in, so I couldn't walk. I kind of got a bit of attitude when they told me to go to have my dinner, and I said, "Problem is, I can't walk."
Yes. Well, I'm. Well, go on, Chris.
It's really weird. It's been, Callum is our second. There's a 2.5 year gap.
Yeah.
And the difference between the experience we had the first time round and the second time round just speaks kind of volumes about what's going on with the NHS at the moment. Not to get overly political, but this is a really, really silly example, but I think it is a very clear indication of where we're at with the NHS at the moment. Because the first time we were there, when my wife was taken off to go for her C-section, and I was brought in, my scrubs to go into surgery with her. This time round, I had to go and get my own scrubs.
I know
it sounds really silly, but I cannot tell you how stressful it was, because they were like, "Right, okay, if you go into this room over here and you can find your scrubs," and there were three pairs. There were like 600 tops, and I'm not exaggerating. There were three trousers, and none of them in my size. So I don't know if it's a coincidence or not. But the nurses kept asking me to pick things up.
They didn't think you were a surgeon, did they? That would have been awful. Well, Chris, listen, we've got to go. There's a lot of love for you on Twitter at the moment. A lot of people in tears, my sister included being one of them, your story. Absolutely brilliant. What time are they coming home? Do you know?
He basically came sort of officially off every sort of tube. So I've got to quickly mention.
Yeah, go on.
I haven't seen my son without... I haven't seen my son without tubes running into him,
until
today.
Oh,
so 9 o'clock this morning, all the tubes were removed from him. Oh, sorry. Ugh.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
All
Chris.
The tubes were removed. So I finally got to see my son's face in all its glory.
And I bet he's a stunner, isn't he?
But everyone says he looks like me, so yeah.
There we go.
So 9 o'clock this morning. So basically, he's got to go 24 hours. As I say, my wife's with him now overnight. So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, fingers crossed. Please, 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 everyone keep your fingers crossed, touch wood, whatever you need to do. My boy will be coming home tomorrow.
Best news.
Absolutely over the moon.
Best news, Chris. Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that call.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Best news. Get ready, Emma, because I'm about to throw to a break. 0844 499 1000.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right then, CJ, Julie, stay there. I shall come to you next. First up, it's Rashid.
Ian, hip, hip, hip for Callum.
Hip, hip, hip for Callum.
Yes.
It's good news,
nice
isn't it?
Nice one.
Yeah, well done. Well done, everybody. Well done, guys.
Excellent, Ian. Ian.
Yes,
I want to mention, I don't know how to put this, there's women about and all that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
But, you know, your flatulence problem.
Yeah. Well, it's not a problem.
It's for me.
I don't like talking about it in front of women because I don't think women do it, do they?
Oh, come on.
Just sneaky sense. About it.
They all smell nice, you know, perfume and makeup. Well, they don't do that.
Well, if I was to do one, there'd be glitter and rainbows everywhere.
Exactly. Well, Ian, you know when you get into your car?
Yeah.
And, like, you've been driving along and you've been, like, flatulating.
Yes.
And,
I relax, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know when you get out, I mean, your car smells, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does, yes.
And when I let them out, sometimes they're very stinky. I say, pu-pa-poi-poi, yeah?
What?
Pu-pa-poi-poi. Now, if I say pu-pa-poi-poi at home, they know it's a signal that that one is a deadly one. Right? So I have a go, pu-pa-poi-poi. Anyway, when you get back into your car and sit down on your seat, does it come back out?
Yes, of course it does, yes, yes.
All right, because I thought it was just me, but I feel better now because you know
that happens.
I've asked you, and that's great.
These things happen.
With the air fresheners, you know.
Yes.
Sometimes it should be called like you know, haze. You know, what do you call it? Feces with a touch of jasmine.
Feces.
You know, like
what?
You know, like the smell. I mean, the smell.
Why would you say that word though? Why would you even suggest that, Rashid?
Because what it is, you spray it, yeah, say it's jasmine fragrance.
Yes.
It doesn't do anything, it just masks it.
Yeah, But they're not going to add feces to haze.
No, but it doesn't,
the plugins.
It doesn't do the job.
But the feces, but then that would be misleading because that would imply that feces was part of the attributed smells, and it's not.
Lilac forest with a touch of poo, with a hint of poo.
All right, Rashid.
Thank you very much.
You've lost all your mystery.
We'll have another break in a second, because I'm a little bit before that. CJ!
Hello, darling.
Hello, CJ.
Now, could we go back to the Star Trek conversation again for a moment?
Which conversation?
The lovely bigoted man ringing up saying about the gay character in Star Trek being a terrible, terrible thing.
Yes.
Terrible thing. Now, that was done in tribute, of course, to George Takei, because he's an openly gay man.
Yes, but George Takei says he thinks it's a bad idea.
Yeah, well, we can work around that. But
hang on a minute. It says a tribute to a gay man, but then when it's put to the gay man, he doesn't like it, we ignore him.
Yeah, apparently so.
Fair play, okay.
But, I've experienced something like this before. On Facebook, we have all these Star Trek groups.
Yeah.
And I posted this lovely picture of Captain Kirk and Captain Spock, how should I describe it, making out, shall we say.
Oh, just kissing?
Yes, they were kissing.
Okay, yeah.
And all the Star Trek fans went nuts about it. They're going, oh, that's disgusting, that's terrible, oh, this is part of a Star Trek gay agenda. And...
Isn't Kirk bisexual?
Well, what's Star Trek about? They're going exploring the universe... And they're meeting lots of alien species. And
where no man's going boldly where no man's gone before.
The thing is, Kirk was doing essentially what interspecies. So why are they bothered about a fella?
Exactly, interspecies, into everything. You know, that's what Kirk was all about.
Yeah, you've got to respect
old horn dog.
Got to respect that.
He was a very naughty boy.
How much of a Star Trek fan are you, CJ?
I've got Star Trek models and Star Trek posters. So
is it true? I don't know where I read this last week. Is it true that in one of the early drafts of one of the Star Trek films, Kirk was going to have a fight with Jesus Christ?
What?
Is that true?
Probably not, no.
Okay, I'm sure... Because I know is it five, where they think they've found God?
Yes, that's the one.
But it's just a Klingon
who's... No, you're right
six.
There. He was meant to have a fight with God.
It was... And it was just a Klingon who'd gone nuts or a Vulcan who'd gone nuts.
No,
I can't remember.
Some sort of spiritual alien being and...
Right. But I'm sure I heard it on Radio 4 or read it somewhere that in an early draft of a film he was going to have a punch-up with Jesus Christ.
Similar concept, but it was meant to be with God. But this is William Shatner's vanity here because he wrote that film.
Yeah, the rule holds
true. The odd number Star Trek films are rubbish. The even number Star Trek films are brilliant. It's a strange, but it's true, isn't it? The first one was supposed to be a TV movie, and then they realised they could get a few quid and make it into a movie, but there's hardly any dialogue in it because it's a 60-minute programme stretched into, like, 90 minutes.
The first one, it just shows 20-minute shots of the ship every...
Oh, it's boring. It's really tedious. Boring, it looks amazing, but it's tedious.
It is.
But the best Star Trek movie of all time?
First Contact.
Incorrect answer.
Wrath of Khan.
Incorrect answer. Wrath of Khan is Star Trek 2. So
the one with the whales.
Yeah, Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. The comedy time travel one. It's brilliant.
The one with the whales.
The one with the whales in it. It's flipping brilliant, that one.
Is that
one.
The one where Spock dies?
No, Spock dies in 2, which is good. But then in 3, they go and find Spock on this planet that's been built by the Genesis Project thing, and he's been reborn, and it's boring. It's just boring.
Star Trek 3.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Or the one. Boom. Spock dies, radiation poisoning. Beautiful.
Was.
CJ, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Tutty bye. I wait for 4499 1000.
Late Night Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. I was right. Thank you, Music Geek. Aborted Star Trek movie had Captain Kirk fist fighting Jesus. Gene Roddenberry's early iteration of Star Trek the Motion Picture was also set to feature some mildly erotic midlife crisis stuff. An early version of Star Trek the Motion Picture would have culminated in Captain Kirk fighting an alien disguised as Jesus, according to a new unauthorised oral history of the series. I want this book. The 50-year mission by Edward Gross and Mark A. Altman revealed that the show's creator, Gene Roddenberry, worked on a number of concepts, including a time travel adventure in which the crew attempts to stop the Kennedy assassination. In one climactic scene, Kirk had a fist fight with an alien who assumed the image of Jesus Christ. So Kirk was slugging it out on the bridge with Jesus. Oh man! Right, I want to find this book. I want to find the people that wrote this book, and I want to get them on this show.
That sounds great.
Partly so I can get a free book, but also because I'd like to pick their brains. I do like a bit. I'm not a massive Star Trek fan, but I do like the original series a lot. I think it's a lot of fun.
It was on all the time when we were kids. You couldn't avoid it.
BBC Two, like 6 o'clock, wasn't it? It was always on, and I do find it very entertaining. The series, I never got into Next Generation, and then you got with Deep Space Nine and Voyage. All that, get over it. But the original one is great, and the original I know they're dropping like flies, but I would like the original cast made one. Just one more movie, just one more movie. See Uhura booted up.
Uhura with her Bluetooth in, well before her time.
Yeah, Uhura invented Bluetooth. Yeah, and they're the first interracial kiss. But Uhura invented Bluetooth. Far more important, I think. Julie!
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Julie.
Hello. I originally phoned up when I heard Jonathan because I wanted to say, how about Doctor Who?
Oh, don't start him different... on that.
Doctor Who is bisexual, isn't he? We've established that, haven't we?
Captain Jack.
And then I realised that it was kind of, there's no point in kind of... kind of getting involved with that. Yeah. And with Star Trek, I'm more surprised that actually nobody wanted to remake it, changing the grammatical style of things from the split infinitive. to go boldly.
Oh, in this ever-changing world in which we live in. All right.
But I was actually really phoning to say about tenuous links of famous people and parents, and that is that I was going through some of my mum's photos, and she's always referred to an old boyfriend of hers, Billy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I realised it was Billy J. Kramer.
Whoa, hang on a second. little children.
Yeah. Another song.
I've walked past Billy J. Kramer while he was sat at a table waiting for people to come and buy his autograph off him. No one did. Your mum went out with Billy J. Kramer?
Yeah.
He was a looker.
He was a looker, beautiful. And he recorded the first Beatles single. He was the singer and the Beatles were his backup band. No, they weren't. Yeah. Were they? No, I'm thinking...
No, but it was written for them.
But did he do My Bonnie? Did he do My Bonnie with the Beatles?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm confusing my Beatles. No, I'm going to stick with it. He recorded the first Beatles. The Beatles were his backup band. And it was the first time the Beatles had been recorded. And I'm going to say it was Billy J. Kramer, My Bonnie. Was it Billy J. Kramer that No, it wasn't. Who did My Bonnie then with the Beatles?
I don't know.
Oh, hang on a minute. My Bonnie. Who did it? It was Tony Sheridan. I apologise, guys. I apologise.
Yeah, my mum was a dancer. She danced in the ever so politically correct now black and white minstrel show.
Beautiful.
And then as a good chorus dancer. Yeah. And so I found these photos, and she'd mentioned things in the past. But there was pictures of her with Des O'Connor, pictures of her at my nan's house with Jimmy Tarbuck,
who
used to drop her home. I know. And who'd have thunk it? But I didn't really realise what a glamorous life she lived.
Well, that is amazing. Does she still have any showbiz friends?
Nope.
Oh, this is the thing. And did she not bang on about it all the time, or did you just kind of find out by accident?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't used to bang on it. I mean, she used to kind of say things, but because she would kind of say, oh, blah, 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 and then Jimmy would drop me home. And I just thought it was somebody that she knew. I didn't realise it was Jimmy Tarbuck or Billy J. Kramer. She just mentioned the names, and I didn't really put two and two together.
That's incredible. Well done that. I mean, what, wowzers. So, there's not, have you done the maths? There's not a chance. Do you look like Billy J?
No, I don't.
Oh, man, that's a, Julie, that's a shame, because you could have been in line for a few quid there. Yes, let's go to Darren. Yes, Darren, hip, hip, hip.
Oh, hip, hip, hip. Hello.
Hello, fella, what you got for us?
Oh, I've had a crazy couple of days, and hearing the news about Callum recovering and being super awesome has inspired me to call in.
Oh, good.
Good. Well done. It's been a good call, that, wasn't it? I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was perfect. I don't normally phone in. I've listened to you for years, and we've met once at one of your shows, and I've never really phoned in because I'm just too nervous about phoning in.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to want to do, isn't it? It's kind of... which is the one when you hurt yourself? Is it sadism or masochism?
Masochism.
And the sadists like giving it, and the masochists like receiving it. It's a very masochistic thing to do, to phone into a radio station. It's horrible. I don't know why anyone would want to do it. I'm glad they do. Otherwise, this would just be like Julia's show. But she blocked me on Twitter. What do you expect? But yes, well, you've done it, Darren, and it'll be over before you know it. So what would you like to say?
Well, in the last 24 hours, I've become a dad. So I'm really inspired.
Oh, hey. What's going on with it? Well, everyone, just put it away for 20 minutes.
We weren't on 9 months ago.
That's it. We weren't on 9 months ago. They needed something to do. what you got?
Oh, you know, hearing... because I obviously heard the story beforehand. You know, I wasn't expecting my wife to go into labour so soon.
Yeah.
Because it was about a week early. So to hear the story of Callum and, you know, and leave it hanging like a great episode of EastEnders. Like, oh no, what's going to happen? Mm. It's great to have a resolution to that. And it kind of had me thinking before I went in, like, oh no, what if something happens to our baby girl? And it's just like, oh no. But the bit that made me want to phone in was when you were talking about the NHS and how it can be a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
But the Aylesbury Stoke Mandeville Hospital were absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Like, they just knew exactly what to do. And like, I was in tears for the 20 hours I was in the room, because I can't believe how strong women are in terms of giving birth and helping the woman give birth. It was just an incredible, terrifying thing to see.
What's weird, right, is, I mean, for the first one, we had me and my wife and the midwife, and then we had to get a load of doctors out to come in very quickly. And there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were six of us in there, shall we say. And then suddenly there's a seventh person in there and they've not come through the door. And that person is yours. And it's the weirdest thing. Suddenly there's an extra person in the room and it's yours. And it's like, it's so surreal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's bonkers. My wife had a emergency C-section, so yep. It was kind of a door in a way.
Yeah, well, yes.
But
yes.
I just wanted to say congratulations to Callum and that family to have such a happy story to tell in the end. And, I've had a couple of beers, so sorry if I'm rambling.
Get in there, fella!
Do it while you can. Amazing.
Darren, yeah, you know, so is that your first baby?
Yeah, this is our first. I can barely look after myself. So hopefully I'll do a good job.
When are they coming home?
It should be Friday. There's a bit of problem with blood sugar levels, and yeah. so leaving them is like the most terrifying thing in the world at the moment.
No, I know it is, but just enjoy the peace you've got for tonight and tomorrow night, because
you'll never get it again.
You'll never get it again. The first night I went home, they're in hospital for one night, and I went home, and I wish I'd appreciated. I would have played video games, I'd have ordered pizza, done all that stuff.
Some of that. Yeah,
good lad.
It's weird games for the guy though, and I know that the woman's done a lot of the hard work, but it must be hard. My husband had to leave us in hospital as well. That moment of having something really momentous and quite shocking happen, mm-hmm. and then having to go home on your own and leave those two really important people to sort of fend for themselves. It must be hard.
Well, I'm quite grateful in a way, because the people next to us stunk of BO, so at least it's not as nice.
You see.
But, you know, made it a bit easier.
If you're going to be in that area, like, it says two guests per visit. There was 10 of them, and they all stunk of BO, so yeah, I'm kind of, like, glad for the freshness. But obviously I'm joking, like, you know, ultimately I'm just happy that, I can't believe it.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice, and it's reminding us of what it's like when you that child comes into the world. Darren, I'm really chuffed, mate. Well done.
Oh, thanks, Ian. Thanks, Gav.
Cheers, fella. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
There we go. It's nice, isn't it? Hey, that's nice.
There's nothing like that rush, is there?
No, and it wasn't the same for me with the second. It was different. It was different.
I was worried about it. Because that you go from being a couple to being a family, don't you? And it's... Yeah. And for that person that you don't really know, but you would pick out of a lineup anywhere, to love them more than anybody else in the whole world is amazing. And I did worry about that, and I felt very guilty about having to tell my little girl that we were having another baby. And I did wonder how I would find room in my heart and my soul for somebody else in that same way, because it's so massive. But they just join in, don't they, second?
Yeah. They fit...
I guess you don't go from that sort of not feeling it to feeling it again. So it doesn't feel like such a dramatic thing, but they just become part of it.
The leap from zero to one child is much bigger than the leap from one to two. That's just a little step. Dan, stay there. We'll come to you after the news and give you a fair crack of the whip. No straight to air at the moment. So you call up and we call you back. The phone number is 0844 499 1000. 0844. 499 1000. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
Right, well, so far we've covered ill babies, getting better, and new babies, and Star Trek, and gays, and I don't know what else we've covered. Febreze. If you want to take part, you can give us a call now, please. 0844 499 1000. We call you back. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio, and this is the news at midnight.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Open my eyes and see you look back at me. So much information when no words are spoken. So high, just thinking of you, feel just like a schoolboy, forgetting my own name. How much do you think the person that you are? Live my life, never looking back, but they're just myths they tell you to take you to your old age. But I've been alone in a house so hollow. I never thought I'd meet you, your perfect imperfections. That you are, how much do you think? It's terrifying, your arms around me,
Evening, dear listener, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. It's gone midnight. It's been an up and down show. Up and down. Catherine's returning with a cup of tea. I really need a wee in a minute as well. Sorry?
Can't do that for you.
No, can he do that for us? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Now, some of you will be desperate for me to give you things to talk about. We don't really do it. I can't remember what the show started with. How did we start the show?
Oh, we haven't done the crossing the road thing that you were touting.
Oh, it's going to be a crossing the road special. We'll save that for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But what did we talk about at the start of the show? Do you remember? I don't remember. I know we talked about Febreze and dental floss. And we've talked about Star Trek and Gay Sulu. And
Ruined Childhoods.
Ruined Childhoods. And how the original Ghostbusters is a film about four men trying to set up their own business. And I don't remember what else. Well, those are some things to get your brain ticking over. We were talking about guests. This is what I was going to ask, actually. 0844 499 1000. Pablo and Dan, thank you. Stay there. We'll come to you in a minute. If you, dear listener, had any suggestions for guests, that's what I was getting to when I started talking about the Shags and Richard Carpenter. The point I was getting to was any suggestions for guests. Don't at them and at me on Twitter, because it's really embarrassing when I've been atted. Why don't you get at such and such on the show? And I've got no idea who they are, or B, I think they're awful. And it's just embarrassing for everyone. So don't do that. But if you've got any suggestions for guests, now, people we contacted today, mm-hmm. Richard Carpenter, Neil Innes.
Patty Boyd.
I got in touch with, I emailed Pete Best, but he didn't get back. Pete Best?
Yeah.
What are you putting that face for?
I thought he died.
Is Pete Best dead?
I think he might be.
Well, the drummer?
Better check.
Is Pete Best dead?
Might explain why he's quiet.
No, Pete Best's not dead. Pete Best's still around.
Let's check.
That crackle I can hear in my ears, do you hear it?
Yes, I thought it was my headphones.
Does it get broadcast? Can you hear a crackle at home? Just be quiet. That won't happen now.
He's not doing it now. No, he's still alive.
Yeah, okay, good.
He's just ignoring you.
Dave Davis, The Shags, these are all people we've emailed tonight.
P.P. Arnold,
Jimmy Webb. We might be getting Adam Schlesinger. I need to say his name, Schlesinger, who produced that Monkees album, and from Stacey's Mom Has Got It Going On. Stacey's Mom Has Got It Going On.
What's it called, that song?
Stacey's Mom.
Brackets.
He also did the that song from that film that I remember being brilliant, and I might watch it again. That thing you do.
Oh, yeah.
The film with Forrest Gump in.
Every time you do that thing you do.
He wrote that.
It's good.
He's brilliant. He's flipping brilliant. Yes, it's the Monkees. Terrifying. It's off the new album, but it's a bonus track. And I have no idea why it's a bonus track. It should be one of the best songs on the album. They put it as a bonus track, but they're Monkees. So, suggestions for guests. Please don't inundate us. Well, no, inundate us, because there might be, amongst all of that, there might be one that might, germinate. 0844 499 1000. Yes, Dan!
Hardcore pornography.
Thank you!
Yeah, you were talking about The Office earlier.
Oh,
you saw a porn parody of it.
Yes, I did. They do that, don't they?
Yeah.
There we go! Did you hear a crackle then?
Do it again.
Well, I can't do it again.
I heard it.
When's the emergency tape?
Shush! I don't think this place has an emergency tape. I've been hearing it a lot tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your ears.
No, because I can hear it too. I thought it was my headphones.
I thought it was my headphones. And I've been hearing it a lot tonight. I hear it every night, but I've been hearing it a lot tonight. And I just wonder if it's broadcast.
It's a bit there.
That wasn't it. That was static on the phone. Ah, no, it's never going to happen again. No, it's not when I touch my laptop. No, not when I touch the laptop at all. That's you're thinking of that. You're thinking of that. That's that. That's
quite different.
That's the laptop.
Maybe it's your arthritic limbs.
It could be. It could be. I didn't go for a run today.
Kath hearing it as well, because she sat next to you. You're an old man.
I didn't go for a run today, and that means I've not run since Saturday, and so I need to do it tomorrow. But you know, I can't be arsed. I'm jacking that run.
I'm going to go because I bought running knickers.
Oh, blimey.
And I've had the runs all night.
Oh, Darren heard it. Now, Darren, did you hear it when you were on the... Everyone's hearing the crackles. Everyone's hearing the crackles. Oh, blimey.
We've got audible crackles, everyone.
We've got audible crackles, guys. Well, never mind. Daniel, would you please get to the point of this call before I lose my temper with you?
They did a porn version of The Cosby Show.
What? Now, careful.
It's fantastic on YouTube. I shall send you a link. It's completely safe.
There! Did you hear that crackle?
I did.
I didn't, but then I was talking.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, they got a comedian in to impersonate Bill Cosby.
Right.
Well, he is pitch perfect.
Really? But what, it's a porno version of The Cosby Show.
Yeah, the title sequence is an exact shot for shot.
Yeah.
And it's the most bizarre thing. I'll send you a link for your delectation.
Oh, we go. Okay, I've got it. I'm going to hover over the dump. It's called Not the Cosbys. Oh, he did not look like him, didn't he? All right. Not the Cosbys. Here we go. Hang on a second. I'm hovering over the dump and there we go.
I assure you, as long as you just stick to the title sequence, but it is safe.
Okay.
As long as you're on YouTube.
Yeah, okay. Here we go. It's taking a long time to boot up. It must be good. Here we go. Oh, it does look like him, doesn't he? We didn't get sued the first time. Here we go. So here goes the sequel. All right, here we go. Lol. What's he doing with his eyes? Look at his eyes! Oh no, they've got one as the little kid.
Not Rudy.
No, inappropriate, no. Oh. Here we go. Yeah. This is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Just wait until he speaks. He does the voice. He does everything.
Isn't that something? Our son wants to start his own business.
All right.
With our money.
Well, how did Theo do on his first day at the office?
He was spectacular. This is an examination table. It is not a toy. And I don't want to see you riding it like a bull.
Off the legale.
Not a lot. Theo, you mean to tell me your father...
Whoa, let's stop.
Father,
that
he said.
That is quite... I'm going to tweet the link. I will say NSFW, guys. NSFW. But not safe for the wife.
Why would you just stick to the YouTube version?
Wowzers.
Anyway...
That is quite simply absolutely stunning. Thank you for that.
I was reminded of that, but then... In finding the link to it, I found that they're going to do a third one.
Yeah.
About Bill Cosby's troubles.
Oh! Well,
I don't think...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold move.
It's creatively bankrupt, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Dan.
That's all right. Bye-bye.
Tatty bye. That opening time, just tweeted it. If it's on YouTube, it'll be all right. Did you see his eyes?
Yes, that's what Bill Cosby used to do.
That was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. There we go, that. Yeah. It's getting more and more. Let's go for a break.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
And Dan, who told us about that, says that further information on Twitter, The guy won an award for best performer, brackets non-sex, at the Adult Industry Awards. So that's great news. Great news. Thank you for that. That really is outrageous. 0844 499 1000. Yes, Pablo.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Pablo.
Oh, thanks for that break. In return, I have a nice cold shower after that.
Wowzers, it really is. Who was Lisa Bonet?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Bonet, who, of course, married...
Kravitz.
Lisa
Bonet.
Oh,
she's the slightly edgier daughter, the one who's quite... Yeah.
She was the naughty daughter, but I really did... Was the mum Felicia Rashad?
Felicia Rashad, yeah. She was beautiful.
I wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of her. She was a stern woman.
She would often wear silk pyjamas.
Yes. I had some, and I remember thinking, I feel like Mrs. Cosby.
Silk pyjamas on silk sheets, you're right. Felicia Rashad, I mean, gosh, golly gosh, what a
woman.
Wowzers, what a lady. What a lady, guys. Anyway, Pablo, what you got for us?
Well, first off, I'll say Kimya Dawson, Richard Dawson, and Les Dawson's number one fan, Ray Peacock, as potential guest suggestions.
Well, I'm doing a podcast with him, as is his real person thing, Ian.
Yes.
He's going to interview me at some point, and he's doing a really, what sounds like an absolute brilliant podcast about depression and stuff. And he got in touch with me, and I said, I don't know, man, I don't fancy it. I'm And we had a really long chat, and we got on really well. And I said, nah, I don't fancy it. And he said, all right, well, you know, forever. And then I kind of had a light bulb moment the other week, and I emailed him and said, right, let's do it. And then I sank into a mad depression, and I said, I can't do it at the moment because I can't, you know, I'm barely functioning. But, but probably not for this show.
Right, so, yeah, I'd say just thoughts.
Yeah, no, and it's good to get these around. He's good. But I just don't think he's quite right for this show, in as much as it's someone we want to get people
niche.
On that we well no not even niche. I mean, we've got one of the bloody shags coming on next week. Do you know what I mean? Niche's thing. It's just I don't know enough of his work, and I don't feel a particular emotional connection with his work, and that's what I want these guests to be, is someone that has somehow touched us. Steady, you know, in an emotional kind of way, and he hasn't, but I like him.
Nope, fair.
There we go.
The other one was slightly more kind of I don't know. It's not actually political, but it touches on it.
Yeah.
It was just in regards to how people the whole kind of recent referendum and changes in certain things. And people's reactions on social media to each other, like people who've been friends have fallen out over it.
Of course.
It just made me think about how people came to that. And I think often it I came to the conclusion about, I think it's how people access news media. Because you used to have, people would have their favourite newspapers or what have you, but they would all watch the same 9 or 10 o'clock news.
Yeah.
So you would have what was essentially... allegedly at the time, or however you would look at it, Jonathan, I'm thinking of right now.
Yeah.
It was impartial, and it was just to the point where people would make their own decisions based on the same source.
Yeah.
Whereas now, people, whether right-wing, left-wing, you know, satirical, whatever, people can access their own media and are, you know, form their opinions based on that. So you've got a kind of a nation who are all watching different things to come up with an opinion, like at a national level. So which is, I think, how you've got this kind of split, where, you know, more than half have gone one way, but a lot of the time for completely myriad different reasons. Like, I live in a coastal town which used to have a lot of fishing, so a lot of people made vote on Brexit purely based on the fact that the EU had an effect on our rights of fishing, which, in my mind, I thought was a bit of a silly way to look at it, just as a single point when it was obviously all-encompassing. And it just made me consider that, and I thought, you know, is this possibly like a like Thatcher smashing the unions type of thing. The more of them that you've got, the weaker the information is. Or is it just, you know, freedom of the presses? People can choose their own, and we're eventually.
I prefer it when we're kind of told what to do. I do. I prefer it when there is less choice, and now there is too much choice. Like the first time I saw cable TV, right, when cable first started, and someone had like 80 channels. My friend Stephen had 80 channels. And I remember thinking, we would go around and watch it, but we would never watch a programme. We would just watch something for 5 minutes, and then we'd flick, and then we'd flick, and then we'd flick. And even then I realised this is too much choice. This is too much choice. I like having four channels. Stretching it to five was stretching it a bit. There's too much choice.
I also think that now you get to choose when and where you watch things. It means that you don't happen across things that you didn't realise you're interested in anymore, right? So people just fuel their kind of narrow sphere of interest, don't they? So it's not like in the old days when you'd be watching something thinking, well, something else will be on in 20 minutes, let's give this a go. These days, if it doesn't catch your interest within 2 minutes, you're off. So you're not going to happen across something interesting.
I think it's obviously not necessarily the porno parody version, but things like The Cosby Show and the like, we all remember watching them when we were younger. We may have, if we'd had a choice of different platforms and mediums or choices, probably not have all watched that as a matter of choice. We all watched it, but we mightn't necessarily have enjoyed it. You know, different levels, it's the same as Neighbours and things like that, where we have all gotten to soaps. You know, they seem to have a constant battle now that, people are dying off viewership-wise, so you don't have the same people engaging, and it's just, I think I've meandered.
Just completely forgot what I was going to say then.
I did the exact same thing. We had a duo memory blip.
Yeah, I'm getting so old. I completely forgot what I was going to.
Was it about Neighbours?
No. I don't know what I was going to say, but I go back to the original point. There is too much choice, and so when I bought about 8 years ago, I bought an internet radio, right, and it's gorgeous, and it's now in the garage. It'll never get used again. It's an internet radio, right, and basically you connect it to the Wi-Fi. And basically, you could access over 10,000 channels. And at the time, I thought, oh, this would be brilliant. I'm just going to flick through it and see what kind of... And I didn't. I found three channels I liked. One was a brilliant Beatles channel. All they played was Beatles covers. And then I never delved any deeper because it was just too daunting. Mm. It was too daunting. Same with podcasts. I don't know what to listen to because there's so many, so I don't listen to any of them because it's just too daunting.
Well, you find that often, like the general media, and you mentioned like satellite. That was the start of the kind of 24-hour news cycle. So you just had to have news all the time.
Yeah.
And then you had this whole move during the blurred years of kind of what do you want to hear on the news? What's your opinion? Whereas ultimately, it's kind of like, well, we want you to form an opinion. I don't want to hear what some fella from Surrey or Glasgow or Ipswich is thinking about.
I remembered what I was going to say. I've just written it down. Your talk of The Cosby Show has reminded me. Do you remember Kate and Ali?
Yes.
That was good, that one. I like. Do you remember Kate and Ali, Pablo?
I don't think so.
Channel 4, about 6:30. Channel 4, about 6:30 on weeknights, they'd show these crappy American sitcoms, and one of them was Kate and Ali. Were they lesbians?
No. They were old friends. One of them got divorced and moved in with her mate, didn't she?
I was a big fan of My Two Dads.
Yeah, Almighty Greg Evigan and
Paul Reiser,
the guy from the Alien films, and Davy Jones popped up in a couple of episodes.
These things were all on after Home and Away, weren't they? So you flicked
be
over.
There for, no, what was the theme
no,
tune?
You can count on me.
You
no matter where you go, you
no can count on me. No matter da, 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 da. I'll be there, baby. Hang on a minute, we need this.
There was a saxophone solo in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Play the real thing, for heaven's sake, because I've got no clue from that.
You can count on me, no matter where you...
This is me, Nicole Bradford. Cute, huh? This is my dad, and this is my dad. How'd I get two dads? They inherited me. Congratulations! It's a girl. Here's the judge who brought us together. She lives in our building.
My building. I own it.
She's going to make sure we're one big happy family with one dad who's down to earth and one dad with his head in the clouds.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
Here we go.
I think we're father of the year.
You can count on me. No matter what you do, you can count on me. No matter what you go.
I'll be right behind.
You will love you more than I do.
Put my love in all.
One of the actors, one of the characters was played by an actor called Dick Butkus.
Wow.
Dick Butkus.
Now, no one thought to rethink that. There wasn't a meeting.
Dick Butkus. Yes, Davy Jones appeared in that as an ageing rock star. And
that did remind me of a specific episode of that where the person who owned it, the judge lady,
yeah,
she was a very kind of grimacy, kind of gravel.
Firm but fair.
Yeah, well, there was a story, and you'll pardon me for saying so, but the girl in it was coming of age,
yes,
in a kind of chest manner.
Steady on.
Chest manner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, that wasn't it. It was her friend was coming on in that certain way.
Yeah.
Coming on, as they would say, up north. But yeah, she was coming on, and the girl of the story was very much a little bit annoyed at her friend because the boys were interested in her. And the judge gave her a sit-down talk and said that, you know, sometimes our bodies change and we can't help it, and sometimes people are interested. And, you know, I was that girl at school. I developed early and all the boys were interested in me, and I just wanted to be with my friend.
Oh.
And it was a very touching moment, but then I had the, you know, coupled with the kind of puberty-ish years and visualising the judge coming through.
This has affected you, hasn't it, Pablo?
It's touched me in a very
deep place.
Uncomfortable way.
I'm going to let you go because we're all feeling your uncomfortableness.
I remember watching that and I was in the similar situation. Not the coming on, but the not.
Blossom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember Blossom?
Yeah.
Blossom. And, Blossom.
I remember Blossom.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. The home straight, dear listener. Last 30 minutes of the show. And as you've been hearing, we will talk any old rubbish. Any old rubbish. 0844 499 1000. Do you need to go and do the podcast? Are you doing it there?
I don't need to do it, do I?
Why?
We're making it now.
Okay. But this
put
is
it together tomorrow morning.
This is it. This is it, guys. It's happening. It's live. Neil's on the line. Good evening, Neil.
Hello.
Hello?
Hear me?
Just...
So, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well done. Thank you very much. 5 points for that.
Thank you. So, I want to catch up on some podcasts. So, about 2 weeks ago, you were talking about feeling bad about eating food and then eating anyway.
Yes.
So, the Germans have a word for that.
Go on, what is the German word for eating food but feeling bad about it but still eating it anyway?
So the German word is Kummerspeck.
Kummerspeck.
And the literal translation is grief bacon.
Is what bacon?
Grief bacon.
Grief bacon. That's a great word. The Germans do have some wonderful words. It really is, you're really touching the zeitgeist there.
Well, I just thought it was amazing. Word for feeling bad about eating.
yeah, that's a cracking word. It's other German words that are exciting. Zeitgeist,
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. What now? What remind me what that is?
That's enjoying someone else's misery, unhappiness.
Grand
designs.
The greatest of all German words is the Doppelgänger. the Doppelgänger.
Doppelganger.
We've all got one.
We do.
I think some of us have more than one doppelganger. I think there are some. But hang on a minute. Saying that, in this ever-changing world in which we live in, this multimedia world, social networks aplenty, surely all doppelgangers would be... I've just thought of an app, Doppelganger Reunited. All doppelgangers would be like, they would know each other, wouldn't they? You'd be able to go, right, supposing you've got a doppelganger, Kath, who lives in Italy, well then we could put you together.
What for?
For a laugh. And some of the lads would like it.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean, Neil?
Yes, I do.
That's good to know. Anything? You got anything else for us, boss?
Yeah.
You've just planted a seed there, haven't you?
I've not done anything. You can't accuse me of planting a seed. Look, I'm on Periscope. They can see there are no seeds involved. Go on, Neil. What else you got?
The other one was you were talking about social media addiction.
Yeah.
And how you,
God, you really
like
are,
to
really are
see your likes.
Yes, yes.
I really like to read about albums that I like already, and I like to read the reviews of those albums, only the good ones. I don't want to listen to the bad ones.
Give us an example of an album where you've done that.
Oh, God, I've got a weird taste in music, but there's an album I like it's like a French death metal band, and I really like to read the reviews of that album that are really good.
Have you seen, are you aware of Lamb of God?
They're rubbish.
Are they really? I don't know. Are they heavy metal, would we say, or death metal? I don't really. It's not a genre I'm familiar with.
No. So I know you like the Monkees, the Beach Boys, and I love all that as well. You know, like I like a lot of different types of music. And as long as it's an album that I already like, I love to read the reviews that are good about those albums.
Dirty, fondle yourself. I'll tell you why I'm talking about Lamb of God, because I watched a Lamb of God documentary today that my sister recommended after we were talking about Anvil, and I forgot to bring that for you. I think I got rid of it, actually. I think I chucked it out. It was signed as well. It did chuck it out when it was signed. And we were talking about Dig and Anvil and stuff like that, and my sister recommended a film about Lamb of God, and I cannot remember its name. All the Burning Palaces or something like that.
Yep.
Have you seen it, Neil?
I know the one. I've been trying to find it online, but
it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, mate, I was watching it on YouTube in Costa today. It's brilliant. I'm not gonna spoil it. Okay, it was good. It wasn't brilliant. I enjoyed it. So they're this heavy metal band. Let's say, for want of a better description, right? Very loud.
Death metal's where they do that.
Yeah, it's that kind of stuff, right? And they're big. They get like number three album in the Billboard charts. You know, right. They're behind Justin Bieber and all of this. And it starts off as a documentary about them going on a world tour. And then they get
And then the guy dies. There's a guy dies in the audience.
There's the spoiler alert. Yeah, all right, because you're not going to watch. Then they go to Prague, right? And they're about to get off the plane in Prague. And there's all these, like, SWAT teams there. And they think, oh, God, there's a criminal on the plane. And they get arrested.
Wow.
And the lead singer gets charged with murder. And they're like, what? And it's quite a good story. Another rock documentary, a band called Death. Have you seen that, Neil?
I've seen that. It's amazing.
It is a cracking film.
I actually bought the vinyl copy of their album after I saw that.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's fantastic, yeah. It's a really good album.
It's about this, and I've not seen it for a long time, so I got this wrong. Remember, it's about this black band, right? They're black, and it's important, in the 70s. But they're not doing what other black bands are doing. It's not like soul or funk. They're doing like hard rock, right? Which was really is that
basically
right?
Basically, they reckon that these guys not invented punk, but they were like the forefathers of punk. It's amazing. It's an amazing movie. I know you love your documentaries.
Yeah, it's a great film. And they sold about three albums, and there were two brothers and a friend, I think. And anyway, it's a film about them, and one of them has died, and they kind of get back together, and it's that thing of they recorded this album and they sold three copies, then 35, 40 years later they become like this big cult thing, and they get approached and they go, wow, what, people remember us? And it's, you know,
wow.
And they wore tracksuits, didn't they? They wore the same tracksuit.
Have you seen the documentary Searching for Sugar Man?
Mate,
well,
now, let me tell you, right, for those who don't know, in 1968, yes, I have seen it. I've seen it and I love it. It's
brilliant.
One of my favourite films. Neil, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much for that. Darren and Sam, stay there. Hang on, someone wants me to... This is the theme tune to Kate and Ali. Hang on a second.
Just when you think there's no one around.
That's the closing title, though, isn't
wow,
it?
Wow, look at you, yes.
Because that isn't how it started, is it? Sometimes
tears and sorrow. I had a real problem with Kate and Ali.
Why?
Just when you think
You're all by yourself.
You're not.
Unfortunately, you generally are all by yourself. Well, because I fancy both of them. Hey, this is what I've been wanting to say all week. So we're allowed to say MILF now, are we?
Well...
because Fergie's got a song out called MILF Dollar.
Fergie
from the Black Eyed Peas.
I don't think she's really on the cutting edge anymore.
A plane that I was on was delayed because Fergie was drunk on it and she had to be escorted off it. She's got a song called, like, I think it's called MILF Dollar, right? So we're allowed to say, because I always thought that was a word that you weren't supposed to say, because it's a mum I'd like to fondle. A mum I'd like to fondle. And I would like to have fondled Kate Ann Alley.
Would you?
Yeah.
Gosh.
But so we're allowed to say this word
I
now,
still
are
think
we?
It's pretty... No, I don't like it.
Because it used to be...
it's a category, isn't it?
Well, let's go back and examine the word. It used to be a genre of pornography.
Exactly.
And you would get MILF hunters and MILF busters and things like that. But by the way, if anyone wants to do a spoof of Mythbusters and call it MILF busters, you can have that one. And it was a dirty
for
word.
Me. It's still got that connotation.
Well, exactly, but now it seems to have passed into. I bet my mum would probably say the word MILF.
Do you think it's in the zeitgeist?
It's very zeitgeisty, very zeitgeisty, and the fact that it's now is a pop song.
Is there a male alternative like a dilf? Is that a dilf?
Dilf, and of course there's gilf, a grandma I'd like to fondle.
Wow.
And there's...
How do you differentiate with granddad, then?
Well, you just have to take potluck.
You don't know.
There's a lilf, a lollipop lady I'd like to fondle.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Tilf, a pilf, post office worker.
Post office worker, tilf teacher. there's a kilf, a copper. So there's loads of them. If you can think of it, someone's getting turned on by it.
Wow.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Putting your shoes on.
I've got one shoe on. Might as well go for the other one. Now, you talk to Darren while I'm doing this.
Hiya, Darren.
Hiya.
Hello. What did you want to say?
Hello.
Hello. Go on.
Am I on there?
You are.
Well, hip, hip, hip.
Hip, 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 Darren, I'm back. I was putting my shoes on, getting ready to go.
Under the desk.
I want to talk about film Ring.
Yeah?
The last two movies were absolutely fantastic. I love a documentary. But the last one especially was...
The Imposter.
Blew my mind.
The Imposter. How did that family... Why did they accept... The one that got me was the sister and the brother-in-law that we saw, right? Why, unless they knew that the original boy was dead, why would they accept him? Why would they think he looked like him?
Well, that's what I think they accepted him because they had other thoughts.
Well, it was a cover, wasn't it? I mean, that's the idea.
Well.
The whole family knows that he's dead and that's why they did it.
I couldn't believe the documentary. I just got the way it changed in the last half hour was absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. But what I'd like to say is, have you ever seen a documentary called Dark Days?
Is this the one about the homeless people?
Yeah.
No, I've not seen it because go on, give us a little synopsis.
It's unbelievable. It's you know when you think people on the edge of society.
Yeah.
These people really are on the edge of society. It's really beautiful. It's in black and white and it's just absolute. You just care for these people all the way through, and it's. I was in tears. I was in floods of tears.
Yeah.
The following day after, the day I watched it, I was going to work and I was telling people to watch this. I think it was on the iPlayer or something, and then it was off the iPlayer. But I think it's on Netflix
It is on Netflix, and I go past it and I keep thinking, I should watch that, and then there's something about it in the description that puts me off.
Yeah,
I don't know what.
I can understand because I'm in the same place as you are. Yeah. Mentally, I don't know how to say it properly.
I do. Yeah, can we get the picture?
Yeah.
We're nuts, Darren. We're both nuts.
Yeah, kind of. it does bring you down, but it brings you back up.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's absolutely... Do yourself a favour. watch that. I tried to buy it on DVD. And it was like 40 odd quid or something.
Truth.
And then luckily it was back on Netflix. So.
I will. All right. I will do. I've got a magic box now. Right.
Oh yeah.
That allows me to watch like films from all over the world legally.
Yeah.
But it's this magic box and it plugs in the telly. And it's like today, we tried it. I only got it the other day. And my youngest is obsessed with Scooby-Doo. We went to a charity shop just because they got CD players, just to buy some CDs and stuff. And as we were leaving, out the corner of his eye, I went, Scooby-Doo! And they had a little Scooby-Doo van. So I typed in Scooby-Doo, right? Every episode of Scooby-Doo ever, from all the series from like the 60s up till now, and all of the movies, there's like hundreds of Scooby-Doo movies.
No Scrappy-Doo.
Well, yeah, the Scrappy-Doo ones rubbish. Were there as well, but we will, of course, be skipping that. I don't want to ruin waste the time of that rubbish.
Have you seen the Tom and Jerry? I think that's on Amazon. I've got it on Amazon. I was watching all the first series of Tom and Jerry.
When was it? They gave Tom and Jerry a voice at one point, didn't they?
Yeah, Tom had a voice, I think. Did he? Or Jerry? Anyway, there's some really racist...
Yeah.
Thomas!
Tom and Jerry.
The old black housekeeper. Thomas!
Well, not even that. Yeah, like, you know, them blacking up and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. There's one when they go to an island somewhere and they are all blacked up. And we never saw them on BBC One.
Operation U-Tree goes and... knocks on the Jerry's. The officer has to get on his hands and knees, and there's a little door in that little mouse hole, and he knocks on it, and Jerry comes out, and he says, "We've come to arrest you." "Oh, we'll be back in a second." And he comes back and gives him a stuffed sock or something. I don't know what happens in those cartoons. Darren, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. Let's go to Sam. Yes, Sam.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, good, thanks, man. What you got?
Well, a couple of things. I'm really excited because I'm like 94 subscribers away from 10,000, and so I'm kind
sweet
of
sweet Lord. If they all paid you a pound, you'd have a 9,000. I can't do the maths at this time.
A lot.
You'd have a lot of dosh. Get them all to send you a pound, Sam.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for it to happen because obviously that's like a couple of days that when it happened, I'm just really nervous about it because there's this sort of pressure that, you know, to deliver.
No, there's not. The pressure is imagined. You're creating the pressure. There is no pressure.
Oh, thank you very much for that. The thing I want to talk about was, I think you mentioned it before, Charlie Brooker.
Were you gonna
book him?
We were gonna book him, and then he doesn't reply to Kath's emails anymore.
But he told me he was flaky, so I'm hoping.
Let me send him a DM. Hang on a minute. If I got him on here.
Because I like him. He's an Asian guy.
He's an Asian guy? You're thinking of the wrong John.
He's a decent guy. We really like Scream White. That was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Still up for it? No worries. If not. There we go. Done.
Yeah, see.
Brilliant. I just really like him, and I think he's... You know,
he's good. He's bloody brilliant. He's a brilliant writer. He's a funny man. He's a nice man. And he's a video game geek. Beautiful.
Oh, definitely. I loved his show. He did, like, how video games changed the world.
I never got round to seeing that. I must
really good.
Dig that out and have a little look-see at it.
It's a bit outdated now, obviously, because I mean, gaming is changing every day now, obviously. So,
he won't have Pokemon Go.
Oh, don't talk about Pokemon Go. I'm absolutely addicted.
Have you been beaten up yet or abused?
Nearly.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen a few evil-looking kids.
Yeah, this is it. I want to. When can we get it in the UK?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure because it's the release date's been paused because.
Sex attacks. People have been sexually attacked, haven't they?
Probably.
Yeah, they have. People are getting mugged, sexually attacked. I may have made that bit up. And run over because they're looking at their phones all the time instead of looking at where they're going. So they're going to ban it. Well, I think, no, shame on you, Nintendo. It's political correctness gone wrong. I've never been so excited about a reinvention of geocaching than I have about Pokemon Go. It's entered the mainstream already. It's not even released. The two mics were playing it. earlier on yesterday. They were playing, the two mics were playing it. It's entered the mainstream already. Give me Pokemon Go. Give it to me. I want it. Emma's got it already. I don't want a hooky copy. I don't want a cracked copy. I want it. I want it legit. Give it.
I want more thing.
Yes.
If you're ever bored,
this is my life,
type in Google... type in Google Feud into Google, and it's a game. It's basically like Family Feud, but basically it's like searches. So say...
I tried this, and I couldn't understand it.
Yes, like, it was like say Donald, for example. Donald comes up, and you think, okay, Donald Trump.
Right.
And then you type in Trump, and it's really weird. It's basically like... it's a Family Fortunes with when you think of a word.
Oh, no, I tried the one where... Was it you? Someone told me about the one where you get a picture and you have to guess where you are.
Oh, no, no, I said that, yeah.
I couldn't work it out.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
No, it wasn't. It was rubbish. Couldn't work it out. There's no one to shoot. There's no aliens.
Oh.
Sam, listen, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much. I couldn't work it out. I was there for ages. And what am I looking? I'm just looking at this thing. Where am I? I don't know. Just give me a clue, no?
Read a book, for heaven's sake.
Hey.
Go for a walk.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a walk now. I don't know why I'm going to do that.
You didn't know, either.
Pokemon Go. Got to catch them all.
Well, you haven't.
Well.
Get a life.
I'd be up for a little session on that. That's exercise.
I think my kids would enjoy it. But yeah, I couldn't be that person wandering around on my own.
Look, how old are your kids now?
They are 4 and 7.
Well, old enough to go out on their own.
They're not.
Give them a mobile phone and send them off on their own. Beautiful.
I let them walk around the block sometimes on their own. And I have to hold my nerve. Don't let them see my panic. Stretch that elastic.
Pokemon Go. The fact that the two mics were playing it. They're on every weekday at the moment. Filling in for Julie Hartley Brewer, 10 to 1. It's a cracking listen. The fact that they are playing Pokemon Go shows just how much they are in touch with the zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist. They're tapping into it.
Very, very much so. So it's got to be good news for everybody. I want a slice of that. It's augmented reality. You're aware of augmented reality.
Yeah, it's when you incorporate real life.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
And we'll have some of that. Let's go to... good evening, Vinny.
All right.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hooray.
Okay. What have you got for us, Vinny? I look forward to this. You call us now about once every 3 months. Yeah. For those who don't know, this young lady used to call me when I was at various other radio stations and would sometimes turn up inebriated. Is your mum out tonight? Is that why you're allowed to phone us?
Yes, that's right.
Beautiful. Okay. How did I know she was out?
I don't know.
Because she's. I'm going to be seeing her after the show.
Yeah, all right.
I'll look after her. Don't worry. I'll look after her.
Anyway.
And she'll have a few quid to buy you some food tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got two questions.
So that'll be all right then, wouldn't it? She'll have quite a few quid, actually.
I know you're lying, so okay.
Well, you don't know I'm lying. Where is she now?
She's downstairs.
Go and have a look. Go and put her on if she's really downstairs.
Oh, I can't be bothered.
You don't know where your mum is.
I do.
Hands up, who knows where their mum is now? Me and Kath have got our hands up. You've not got your hand up, Vinny.
Yeah, it's up.
What have you called in for, madam?
Yeah, first of all, what do you think of acid house music?
It's not a genre I am particularly familiar with.
I used to enjoy Yaz and the Plastic Population.
They were good, actually.
Were
I liked Erasure. I like Erasure.
The Acid House?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Would you say so, Vinny?
Yeah, it's all right, I guess.
Okay.
I know my second question
is... Do you like happy hardcore, Vinny?
He likes hardcore.
No, I prefer pop.
Okay. That question, normally a question leads on to a conversation, Vinny.
It was just a check.
Yeah, just a check. Anyway, then my main question is...
Is that a survey that you're carrying out on behalf of the Acid House Music Trust of Great Britain?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant.
Anyway.
Are you touching yourself?
No.
Okay, because you sound very breathless.
I'm just a bit nervous.
You're just a bit nervous?
Yeah.
Oh, don't be nervous.
Yeah. I'm going to ask another question.
Okay, here comes question number two. Looking forward to this. This is going to be a good one. Yes.
What is comedy?
It's funny things, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the funny things that make you laugh.
It's the opposite of tragedy.
Do you not know? Do you not know that? Yeah, you don't know what comedy. Hang on a minute. You don't know what comedy is. Is this a? Are you slagging off my radio show?
It's the opposite of tragedy. But yeah, that doesn't mean it's funny.
Well,
it does. Comedy is funny. Comedy is funny.
No,
yeah.
No. Yeah, but it doesn't mean. If it's the opposite of tragedy, it doesn't mean it's funny.
Well. In the Shakespearean tradition, a comedy would be everyone getting married at the end, and a tragedy would be them getting carried out dead, so...
Yeah, that's where...
Good time, bad time.
Yeah, that's what involves Shakespeare as well.
Yeah. Good, I'm glad you did.
When the... when you were at school, and they teach you Shakespeare, and they teach you the comedy...
yeah, you didn't think they were funny.
...plays... Yeah, you didn't think they're funny. And you tell the teacher, it's not really funny. And they say, back in those times, it was really funny. Yeah. Well, I think that's the answer is wrong.
No, it's like watching Dad's Army.
But it's true. But comedy is subjective. Do you know what subjective means?
Yes, but I'm just... it's like that...
hang on, we got a caller. Caller, can you help Vinny here, please?
Hi, Vinny.
Yeah.
Hi, Vinny.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, my long-lost brother? How's it be hanging?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. How you doing?
I'm really well, my funk soul brother. What be happening for Shizzle?
That's a bit racist.
I'll be up in that streets. Be you?
No. I'm at home right now.
I just be kicking it with me Desmond's box set, man.
Okay. Well, what's a Desmond? Okay, that TV program from... I'm too... I can't remember. It's too young for that. Anyway, what's up?
Talk radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk radio.
We'll get you talking.